Maybe missing one or two. But why don't we go ahead and get started? We have a pretty long agenda today. I'd like to try and get through everything. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, November 24th, for the Ways and Means Committee meeting for disposition of the budget amendments. Natalie, could you please call roll?
Archer?
Here.
Ronk? Bartels?
Here.
Guevara's?
Present.
Haynes?
Here.
Mayo?
Here.
And Walter?
Here.
You're on the phone, so your votes will not be counted until you're present in video.
I understand.
Okay.
And just for clarification, she could also come back when she gets back online. She can vote on the previous amendments that we've already decisioned. Just so you understand, Eve. Okay.
And for the record, Chairman Donaldson is with us, and so is Legislator Ronk.
Okay, so thank you, everyone. Why don't we get started? The budget amendment number one, I'll take a motion to move that.
I'll move it.
Legislator Guevara, seconded by Chairman Donaldson. Any now, questions?
Yeah, one of each. Where are we at? Number one is the DA, right?
District attorney, the receptionist typist. Right. Any questions on that? Legislator Ronk.
Yeah, thank you. Just speaking about all three of these amendments, you know, as a whole, not just speaking about the first, because I feel like that'll move this along a little bit. I'll be supporting the third one for the paralegal, but I will not be supporting the administrative assistant or the receptionist typist. I understand that, due to what I feel is the ill-conceived discovery reform, which just turns out to be another unfunded mandate in several portions of local government from the state, I understand his need for the paralegal to be able to comply with the discovery reform. I just feel like with the budget situation where we are, I don't feel that the other positions are necessary at this time.
Okay, any other comments? Legislator Bartels?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the DA gave a compelling argument for the first two positions. I'm struggling with it too, given the budget cycle and what I believe is going to happen next year. I just am not sure how it would impact his work to not have them, given the change in workload. Did we get that the caseload provided?
Everything's doubled.
Substantial. Yeah. So. I'm concerned about the ability to operate the office.
Legislator Ronk?
No, Legislator Walter can go if she'd like.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Thank you. So I just wanted to remind people the there are two, because one of them was a misunderstanding. He had needed this to go in the budget, and the executive, In conversations, they somehow it got down that he didn't want it when he actually did. So there, just to clarify that, that's one of them. And then the second one, he really thought he can go without. And when they had the initial conversations, but pretty much discovered that that's just not plausible. So just adding that. Thank you.
Okay. Chairman Donaldson, then Legislator Bartels.
Yes, I like Tracy, have those type of concerns. Is he going to be able to operate and do what he's got to do without it?
Legislator Bartels?
Yeah, and just to be clear, the third one isn't a position of a paralegal. It's a technical clarification, because they funded the wrong line. You know, the person is living in a different line than was funded. So it's not a new paralegal. It's just
it's a job it's a number technical change.
Yeah.
Okay, on Amendment 1, which is the receptionist, any other questions on that one? Chairman Donaldson?
Yes, I mean, where the money is coming from in this particular first one, it's all coming, where is the money coming from around that first one?
Contingency.
I believe it's contingency account.
It doesn't show on the amendment, does it?
Yes, I think it does at the bottom.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I looked right over it. Okay.
That's okay.
Now, are we having a running total of our contingency is changing?
Amber?
I'll do my best to keep track of it, but I have, I'm keeping track of the legislative program savings. And I have the votes and everything that I'm keeping track of as well.
Okay, so can Natalie help with that or? Okay, well, we'll do our best. You know, if not, we'll get the tally as quickly as we can. Okay, so on the First Amendment, all in favor? Opposed? Legislator Ronk and Mayo. Thank you. On the second one, move for a vote.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Chairman Donaldson, second. Okay, on the administrative assistant, all in favor? Opposed?
No.
Legislator Ronk and Mayo, no. And the third, which is the technical correction for the paralegal's job number. Move.
I'll move it.
The second.
Third one, let me ask you, I'll second it.
Sure.
Now the third one has no budgetary effect, right?
Correct.
Correct. It's already in the budget. It was just under the wrong job title.
Right.
Correct?
So, okay.
That's job line.
I want to make sure so other people that are not looking at the amendment also understand.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. All in favor? Opposed? All in favor. Thank you. Next is Amendment 4.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second it.
This is the capital pump house control upgrade. This was omitted in the original capital plan. Move for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous vote. The next one is budget amendment 5, emergency management move. Again, this
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second? Chairman Donaldson, this again was one of the components left out of the capital plan. Legislator Bartels.
I do have some of the concerns that I raised, but I'm gonna support it and then do my due diligence in the coming months.
Okay.
The capital plan. There was a lot of work done as referenced by both legislators Ronk and Haynes.
Great. Okay.
Right. And we still have to okay any of the money being spent, so
there's more opportunity for discussion. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous move. Okay. Amendment number 6, DSS basement restoration move.
I'll move it.
Second?
Yes.
Chairman Donaldson. Any questions? Okay. All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Okay, amendment number 7, assistant county attorney. Somebody want to move this?
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay, second?
I'll second it.
Legislator Bartels. Okay, for discussion, any questions on this? Legislator Ronk?
No question, just a comment. I don't support this amendment. I think it's important that, you know, we have the opportunity to get a qualified supervising attorney to be the first assistant county attorney. That's the reason that this was increased in the first place. It's regrettable that due to, you know, the circumstances surrounding the vote from the legislature and some things that were said about, you know, our, you know, now former first assistant county attorney, you know, she's going on to pursue other endeavors. But I think it's important for us to be able to entice a well-qualified attorney. So I don't support cutting this position.
Legislator Bartels?
Just for clarification, when you say cutting the position, you don't mean, you mean cutting the pay in
the salary of the position.
Okay. Any other questions? Chairman Donaldson?
Yeah, I'm a little torn on this one. I certainly understand that you you do need somebody that is second in command. We have, you know, right now, Clint is the county attorney, but there also needs to be somebody that's going to be responsible right after, you know, right after his position, if he's out or whatever it may, the reason may be. So but I certainly understand, you know, when the position was increased, it was increased without any input from the legislative body. And that was a, that's a concern of mine. It's always a concern of mine when they increase pay in any sort without, you know, legislative input. So I'm a little torn on this one because it does sort of make sense. At the same time, even though we were not made aware of it ahead of time.
Legislator Ronk.
This is passed in the budget last year, so we were made aware ahead of time. You know, so I'm not, you know, I don't necessarily agree. This is something, Legislator Donaldson, that you know, we adopted in the budget last year, and this was it's not a mid-year increase. It's, you know, what occurred last year. I don't agree with that statement. I understand your point, but you know, this isn't, you know, negating an increase that's happened in this budget. This is a reduction year over year.
Legislator Bartels.
Just two things. Yes, we did adopt it in the budget last year, but to Chair Donaldson's point, the change was made mid-year without legislative approval. And then once the person was in the position, we confirmed that salary, which had been made, the change had been made mid-year without legislative approval. That said, the proposed adjusted salary, bringing it back down to the previous rate of $87,952, is more than $10,000 higher than the next assistant county attorney in the office. So it still is a significant step up above from the next assistant county attorney. If you want to call it the first assistant and have a supervisory role, it's $10,000 over the next assistant county attorney.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. If we're gonna start negating raises that we adopted in the budget last year that were done mid-year without legislative approval, I've got a couple of options I'd like thrown in as well, but I just don't think that that's proper.
Well, the reality is there's nobody in this position now, and some of the other ones that, you know, if somebody was in the position, you don't want, you know, you necessarily wouldn't want to take a big reduction, so.
I just want to remind the committee that, you know, after that comment, there's a resolution later to take 2% away from all of our hardworking management staff.
Chairman Donaldson?
Well, that has nothing to do with this resolution.
That comment had to do with Legislator
Arthur. One at a time, please. One at a time. Chairman
Donaldson.
Oh,
you're the only one allowed to cut anybody off. Got it.
We are doing one at a time, so let's focus on this. And I agree with Legislator Archer in that, you know, it is not taking anything away from somebody that's sitting in there. And I can understand where you're coming from, Legislator Ronk, but, you know, let's discuss that when we get to that point. Right now, this number would be approximately 10,000 more than the one, anybody just below them. Is that correct?
Yes. That's what Legislator Bartels said. I don't have it in front of me.
And the other, in other words, is there an increase in this that is from the previous year, or I'm not seeing that on there?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Chairman.
No, is it it's not more than it was last year, correct?
No.
Not more than the one that was increased without our input from the year before and then got put in on the end of the budget.
Correct. Legislator Wrong.
Yeah, thanks. With respect to Legislator Donaldson on the resolution that's coming up later that I alluded to, it had to do with what Legislator Archer was speaking about, which was, we wouldn't want to take money away from people who already have it. And that comment seemed, at odds with, her support of a resolution that would do just that. So that was where my comment was coming from, Legislator Donaldson. On this, we may not be taking away, money from somebody who's in the position, but I think that we're taking away the county attorney's ability to hire a supervising attorney for that salary. I believe that you'll find that supervising attorneys in other departments are paid more than that. And that's, a concern. You look at like the first, the first assistant district attorney, the first assistant public defender, you go down the list and, they're higher salaries and, that really goes to the entire county attorney's office where attorneys in other areas of the county, in other positions in the county are paid more than the assistant county attorneys. I don't know why we would want to hamstring ourselves in the position of the person who's there to defend us in our actions.
Legislator Bartels.
I just want to point out, though I don't have the exact numbers, that both the public defender and the district attorney have considerably more attorneys in those offices. So in terms of being in a supervisory role, you'd be supervising many more attorneys than in the county attorney's office.
Okay. Go ahead, Chairman.
Yeah, does anybody know what actually is the pay in the public defender and the DA's office for a comparable position?
Natalie, can you look that up quick? Do you have that ability?
Hi, this is Bert. I'm actually driving. I can tell you the first assistant DA makes over $100,000. I don't have the salary right in front of me, but as soon as I get back to the office, I can get it.
Legislator Bartels.
I'm looking at the public defender's page, and the chief assistant public defender in 2020 made $96,560, proposed for roughly a $10,000 raise this year. But by my fast count, there's over 26 assistant public defenders in the office. So it's a considerably different, the dynamic of the office, and I assume also the caseload is considerably different.
Legislator Bartel. Legislator Ronk.
I understand how you can make the confusion. I think that, if you'd look at both the public defender's office and the DA's office, there's quite a few part-time ADAs and APDs in those offices as well. So I don't think it's apples to oranges. I also know that the county attorney's office does a wide range of law, from the NREMs to juvenile offenders to defending us against actions that come against the county, to defending the county against things as silly as somebody getting hit by a train on a county road. So, you also need to have a large, array of skills and expertise, where in some of these other offices, it's pretty one lane. I don't know. I just don't think that we should do this. That's all. And I'll stop talking.
Natalie, were you able to get some current numbers for the DA's office?
I'm pulling up the budget right now.
Thank you. I'm trying.
There's a lot of assistant DAs in the DA's office, and they have a wide range of regular pay.
Do they have a like a supervisory or a first?
There's no title that alludes to that.
Okay.
I'd go out on a limb and say it's the most highest paid assistant district attorney would be the chief assistant.
There's an assistant district attorney. There's two of them that make $98,000 and
$99,000. Okay. Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, and there's also one that there's also one or two that make over 100. 107.
Okay. All right. On the resolution.
There is a $106,605 pay and a $107,903.
Okay. Does that answer everyone's questions? On the resolution, all in favor of amendment number 7? Opposed? We have Haynes, Mayo, Ronk. Opposed. Chairman, did you vote on this? You're frozen. Yep, we lost the chairman. Okay. So we had three, so we have three, so it's
defeated until somebody else votes.
Until someone else votes. And we have coming back on is probably chairman and Legislative Walter. Okay. So we'll put that to the side. Resolution number 8. Move for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay, these are the raises. Any questions? No questions. Okay, on the go ahead.
I just want to confirm, these are the non-change to the standard work week raises?
No, these are raises.
Yes.
I'm correct, right, Legislator Bartel?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I thought it was our increases.
It's all the non-union rate increases. It's the straight rates.
Okay, straight rates. Okay, sorry about that. Legislator Rock.
Thanks. I don't agree with all of the increases being put in here. I think that some of the people have made compelling arguments as to why, particularly the clerk's office. If I'm forced to vote on this as an omnibus, I would vote yes on this amendment and no on the next one. But, you know, again, I think that, you know, when it comes to the floor, I may be making some amendments to this to, you know, reflect, I think, some of the better arguments that have been made for these.
Chairman Donaldson, and then Legislator Bartels.
I apparently got knocked off the Zoom. Did you scud back on? I had my computer wasn't doing it, so I'm on my iPad instead. Did you vote on the one for the
assistant county attorney? Yes. And it was a 3-3 vote. So you will be the deciding vote for or against.
I will vote. I'm going to vote against it.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you. Now we're on amendment number 8, Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, to Legislator Ronk's point, I'm fine with moving this as an omnibus. I've spoken to a bunch of legislators. I know that there are going to be individual amendments. And as I've said, you know, there's one in here in particular that I've been advocating for years. It's really difficult. I just did not want to pick and choose. I had multiple legislators asking that we put in a resolution preventing any pay raises. And so that's what I did. This was the way I could handle it. But I understand that on the floor, there's likely to be amendments.
Okay, Chairman Donaldson, and then Legislator Ron.
Is there an ability to actually take all the pay raises and move them into a contingency account so we can actually go through them one at a time, you know, with the new year, shall we say?
Oh, that's an interesting approach. Legislator Bartels?
I mean, I clearly there's an ability to do that, to take all this number. And I mean, that's essentially what this resolution does. It doesn't give the pay raises to the individuals. It moves the money into contingency. You know, part of the problem, I think, is that, you know, it's such, I was talking to someone about it today, a department head, and then also a colleague, you know, it's just such a difficult, it's such a difficult year. But I feel really strongly that 2021 is going to be worse. And as I make my way around the county and speak to people about this, it's really, really a hard year to give and justify pay raises. It just is. But to answer your question, Chair Donaldson, this does move all the money into contingency. So at any point, it could be moved out of contingency by resolution.
Right, right. But what my mindset would be, well, it is a contingency, but with the understanding that we are going to take each one of them up individually as we're able to. In other words, the way it's, you know, set up here, it's sort of like it's a done deal. We're all saying no. No raises, as opposed to, because I mean, my mindset, there are certain people in here that really should be getting raises without a doubt, because they're, you know, the amount of work that they're being forced to do is increased. So they may actually have added hours that they should be working. Or they're working on, some people are working in a different title. And, you know, they're actually, you know, they're changing the title in that they, you know, somebody left, they may have moved up and they're working in another title, then they certainly deserve the increase in the title that they're actually working out of. No different than if they were, you know, CSEA members that were, you know, working at a title, then they, you know, they can just put in an appeal in and they would get that pay.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. Through you to Legislator Bartels, I noticed that there's, you know, public defender Hurl Herring positions. Are we decreasing grant funded positions in this resolution? Settlement funded resolutions, I guess, would be more accurate.
Legislator Bartels.
We're not giving the raises that were proposed.
Are those raises grant funded?
I believe that they will be.
Yes.
Are we able to use that money in future years? Or is that just money that we're giving back to the state as part of the settlement?
I don't know if legislator...
My hand is up. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't see that. Okay, can you respond?
You don't see me having my hand up in my car?
I don't, but thank you for chiming in.
So to respond to Legislator Ronk, not necessarily. I mean, there's another resolution another amendment that further down that also utilizes the same pool for the assigned council administrator. There's also sometimes uses, you know, we've applied it to rent, we can apply it to equipment. So it's not necessarily a give back. It may just easily be utilized for other purposes.
Legislator Bartels, and then Legislator Cahill.
Yeah, and in terms of the public defenders, you know, there's two, because I'd asked that all of these raises, you know, our financial analysts were a huge help, and I asked that we flag any of these raises. There are two modest raises in terms of an assistant and a deputy chief assistant. I'm not sure how those numbers were, realized, $1,200 and a $642 raise. But the more extreme raise is the chief assistant public defender, and the justification given, I'm sorry, I'm hearing echo, so it's hard to talk with the echo. The justification given for the chief assistant public defender raise is that the raise was given to the public defender, but in fact, the raise that we approved for the public defender was due to moving to a full-time position. So the chief assistant public defender had always been a full-time position, so I didn't really understand why we were adding nearly $10,000 to that simply because the public defender saw a higher salary.
So I think what I'm hearing is that there's probably still some increases here that have to be sorted out and clarified, but the intent is to not approve raises and get more clarity before the final vote. Did I hear that correctly? Legislator Bartels?
I mean, it sounded like Legislator Ronk was saying, because they've been broken out into three different kind of buckets, sounded like Legislator Ronk was saying if we were moving it wholesale, he would be supporting this one, but maybe not the later ones, but that there could be amendments on the floor to this one if this one gets approved. I can say that Chair Donaldson, in describing the discussion of raises and looking back at raises throughout the course of the year, was referencing all three of the resolutions because he was talking about changes to hours and changes to titles, and those are later, those are later amendments. This amendment is the most clean of the raises. This is where people are just given straight raises.
Okay. Legislator Ronk. Oh, sorry. Do you mind if we get
for Legislator Ronk?
That's all right. I want the committee people to speak. I'm a guest. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Legislator Ronk, and then we'll have Legislator Cahill.
All right. I find some of the, you know, some of the aghastness over raises in this budget a little disingenuous, considering when I brought up some of the large salary increases in last year's budget, I was tarred and feathered. And we approved them, and now they're still, you know, getting these salaries, but now anybody else that comes forward, you know, is being looked at differently than last year. I just feel like we, you know, we tend to pick something to focus on in the budget, and this year it's raises, and it's just concerning to me because we don't have any kind of, you know, rhyme or reason to how we do these things come, you know, November, December. I don't know. It's a concern to me. Over all three of these, all three of these amendments. But Legislator Bartels is correct. I plan to support this one and then go back and do a little bit more work on, you know, who's made some better arguments than others on why the raises are justified. I don't support any of the changes to the standard work day in the next one.
Legislator Bartels.
Again, and I know we're, you know, going back and forth. But again, part of where I see the difference is that this is an extraordinary year. We're in the middle of a pandemic and in a financial crisis that's bound to get worse. So that's in large part, when I look around, the county, when I talk to friends and colleagues and neighbors, and I see what people are going through, and I imagine how much worse it's going to get in terms of food insecurity and difficulty meeting ends meet. I just do not feel that this is the time to give raises. But, you know, we can respectfully disagree on that. That's fine.
Okay, Legislator Cahill, thank you for your patience.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I just want to reiterate, I have to drop off for another meeting, but I just wanted to get this out there, that I think that any selective CSEA raise, be it through a move up in a job grade arbitrarily without going through a list or extending their hours, is something that I'm going to vote against at all. And I know that they're probably, I don't know if they're in this number eight or in further down the road, but I do have to leave. So I wanted to bring it up. I just think it's unfair that we're selecting only a handful of our CSEA employees to give raises to when the vast majority of them won't see a raise. And we're going to have all five of our collective bargaining agreements expired very, very shortly. And I think, you know, handpicking unionized employees to give them raises and finding a way to do it is just not the correct way to do it. And I think it sends a terrible, terrible message to the folks that work so hard in our county day in and day out. So if I see those at any point, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to vote against those resolutions. And again, I know how we're going to do this today. I appreciate that. But when we get down to those, that's exactly how I'm going to address those. So thank you.
Thank you. And please note that Legislative Walter is now present, and we'll kind of go over before we close out on the votes you missed so you can weigh in, okay? Any other questions on this one, on resolution number 8, the raises? Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Legislator Gavaris, I wasn't sure which one you were.
I'll be a yes to move it to the floor, but I'm okay. Not sure.
Okay, so it was unanimous. All right, thank you. Now we have amendment number 9, hour increases.
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay, second. Legislator Walter, second. Okay, do you have a comment, Legislator Ronk?
I do, in fact. Thank you. I am going to be opposed to this one. I think that, that the folks who have made these increases in hours and changes in work schedule have a good justification for them. I just want to say that if we adopt this, we actually take hours away from our deputy clerk of the legislature, who is the entire reason we're able to have these Zoom meetings. I find it ironic that the extra work that she's done and the extra hours that she's worked to make these Zoom meetings, including this one where we might be cutting her salary. Cutting her salary in the upcoming budget due to the number of hours. All this is going to do is increase her comp time and, cause, I think, problems for the clerk in operating the office when it comes to that particular position. And then you go down the list, and, the comptroller has made really good arguments as to why, those hour increases are happening. I had previously opposed the comptroller's attempts to move these positions back up in hours, but I believe that Comptroller Gallagher has been doing a good job and really did a good job in justifying them to me. I understand the concern about just straight rate increases, but these are actually compensating our employees for extra hours that they're working. So a lot of them are COVID related. I don't see the reasoning behind this.
Legislator Bartels.
Again, I think that department heads have the ability to use alternative work schedules on a temporary basis, and making 40-hour work weeks permanent, which is what's happening in many of these cases, I don't think is advisable. Again, we may not be in a long-term situation, or hopefully we will not be in a long-term need for this, for the type of work that we're doing. So I'm obviously supportive of this. I put it forward.
Legislative Walter, then Ron.
So I took a big step back on, we have several different kind of personnel kind of issues in front of us and amendments related to personnel. And some of them include, as we just saw, sort of positions that are completely empty, and we'll have those again later. Some of them are hours increased. Some of them are people put in positions that don't match their job titles and given an increased salary based on that, and then their job titles change. So I kind of take a step back on which ones I feel really okay about and which ones I don't. So I'd have to say, like, for this one, and I'll feel the same way for the next one, is, these are, and I agree with Legislator Ronk, like, these are people who need them trusting the heads that these jobs can't get done without these requests. And I don't like the idea of taking away money that was already given, and I don't like the idea, and I feel more comfortable trusting the heads that if they needed these hour changes, they do. there are plenty of other situations where I'm not happy with those, but with this, I just feel like if this is what the department heads say they need, I feel like I have to trust it. And I feel that these department heads did make other cuts in other ways. And I don't think they would have asked if they didn't need it.
Okay, Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. Just to respond to Legislator Bartel's comment about alternative work schedules on a temporary basis, that can work if there is a vacancy in the department or if there's extra money somewhere in the department that can be moved, but that's the only way that you can do an alternate work schedule, without appropriating more money to that position, to the department or the division. And in addition to that, the comment that these are now permanent hour increases is incorrect. Just like we're adding the hours this year, if something changes and the department head comes back next year, or we decide that the department head didn't need the hours increase, we can bump them back down. It's the budget time. So nothing's permanent, in the budget. We have the ultimate appropriating authority.
Chairman Donaldson?
Well, my concern is I'm not so keen on doing this blanket in this manner. I'm not sure if every one of them will all fit the same bill. I mean, that's what my concern is when we're looking at these. But I tend to agree with Legislator Walters and Ronk on this. If they're looking for this need and they have pointed out that need, then, we do have to have some faith in that the people that are doing these jobs are, need this extra time.
Okay, any other comments on the resolution? All in favor? Opposed? And I just want to go on record and say that, once we get past this, I would hope that next year we look at adjusting, because if we're a standard 35-hour work week, then I would hope that once we get past the hurdles of COVID, that we can address these appropriately. Legislator Ronk.
To that comment, we are not a standard 35-hour work week. There's 35, 37 and a half, and 40 all over county government in and out of the unions.
Well, yes, that's correct. There are, but for non-union, we're 35-hour work week, right?
Not across the board, I don't believe.
Well, with one or two exceptions. So,
okay.
But anyway, I do think it's something to look at, and I recognize people are reducing headcount and they're making up for it in different ways. So I'm supporting this. So I don't think we need to debate it. Okay, the next one is the management non-union cuts, amendment number 10. Move for discussion.
Oh, I'll move it.
Okay, and second, Legislative Walter. Legislator Walter.
So again, I want to say that I appreciate Legislator Bartel's effort and desire and energy into helping us have a more efficient budget. I really do. I do feel uncomfortable with taking away a raise that people were already offered. I absolutely get, and I think there are many other things that we can and should cut, but and it's one thing to cut a raise that's potential, but one that occurred in the past, I'm uncomfortable with. And these are all ones that had already occurred, right?
Yes.
Confirm? Yeah.
Chairman Donaldson?
Well, I also want to thank the massive amount of work that these amendments cause for our budget people. I know they were, Amber was up, through the weekend, making sure last week to make sure that all these things were put together. And I'm sure she did some more work in this weekend. And these are pay that was already there. I voted against this particular thing when it was there, but now it's there. I'm not going to be taking money away from people.
Okay, any other comments? Legislator Ronk.
Yeah, as I've previously stated, I absolutely can't support this. You know, you're taking away a 2% increase that was given last year. People made life decisions on it. I also, you know, want to thank Amber and Natalie for their hard work on all the amendments, but on this one in particular, because I feel like it was, you know, it's almost ironic that, you know, Amber had to work over the weekend on a resolution that would cut her own salary by 2%, and she did it so well and with such grace, so I appreciate that. And, you know, I just can't, you know, it's, you know, to me, it's disrespectful to the hardworking, you know, folks who, you know, a lot of these folks are the ones who volunteered during the shutdown to come in and you know, staff the COVID hotline and help out at the EOC. You know, there was a resolution this past month to give payouts to our political appointees at the Board of Elections for their comp time, but you know, then, you know, in the budget, we're going to cut the salaries of all the staff who worked during the shutdown, during the pandemic, and, you know, pending another shutdown are going to work again through the shutdown. I don't know. I just, you know, I find this of all of the amendments, I find this one the most troubling.
Legislator Bartels.
I also respect the work that was done, and I thanked Amber, and the irony wasn't lost on me. That said, to suggest that it's disrespectful, I mean, it would be a difficult decision to make. I still stand behind it. I can imagine, you know, where it's going to go, at least in this committee, but I still stand behind the decision. You know, people are being asked to make sacrifices all across this county. And I expect that what we're going to see in this coming year is more people losing their homes, more people defaulting, more people falling into food insecurity, into homelessness, et cetera. And again, it's not about lacking respect for our hard workers. It's about a difficult decision and a difficult budget time.
Okay, with that, all in favor of this amendment 10? And opposed. Okay. Amendment 11, title changes.
I'll move for discussion.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any questions on this one? Legislative Walter. You're on mute.
So this is where I do have an issue. And I think this issue relates not only to these current title changes, but what to me has felt like subtle efforts throughout the year of moving people into positions, into titles that didn't necessarily match what they did for higher salaries and various other kinds of lucky things. And I will say that I did look at the budgets proposed for a couple of other counties. And I feel like I'm okay with a title change, but it not as long as it doesn't come with a salary increase. If they just need to change their title, that's one thing, but I'm not okay with these title changes and efforts to get a salary increase. That's not a title change. I mean, that's a different job with a different salary. And I think that needs a lot more kind of explanation behind it. So I'm not supportive of this. I mean, I am supportive of this amendment. I'm not supportive of doing title changes and increased salaries.
Thank you for the clarification. Any other questions? Okay. On amendment 11, title changes, all in favor? We have Haynes, Mayo, Bartels, Walter, Ronk, Archer. And Chairman Donaldson. Opposed? Legislator Gavaris. Thank you. Okay. Amendment 11 or Amendment 12, community, Ulster County Community Action. Move. Chairman Donaldson moves. Second, Legislator Walter. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Just through the chair to Chairman Donaldson, is this in addition to the other any other appropriations for community action in the budget, or this is the only appropriation for community action?
They're paid for a doing certain they're paid for the EAP for doing EAP applications. That's something, that's one of the things that they do. They've all, you know, I believe they've been doing that for many years. It's social services contracts with them because they do other, you know, various programs. So they're able to, in other words, they're able to do all the income verifications and things like of that nature because of a number of whatever programs they have to do that for their programs.
Yep. You know,
so.
And I believe this one is specifically earmarked to help with housing issues, correct?
Yeah, it's housing issue. Well, it's actually a number of things. It'd be housing issues. That's one of the major things that they do that for. Mm-hmm. But they use their ability for, you know, income verifications before, and they also do things like, for instance, if they are going to give someone, help them with a rent so they're not being thrown out, right. They make sure that they're not, in other words, it's not going to be a reoccurring thing.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. So with respect to housing issues, is it like paying people's rent, or is it like what the county executive's done with the county attorney's office and legal services of the Hudson Valley about the, you know, eviction orders during COVID?
No, it would be actually giving them a small grant, shall we say.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on this? Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Haynes, Mayo, and Ronk. Thank you. Amendment number 13, Ulster County Library Association. Move.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second. Legislator Bartels is second. Okay. And did somebody have a question? Legislator Gavaris.
I just want more of a statement, I guess. You know, I have a somewhat problem. I think I said this last time with the library. While it's a great service, and I agree that it is, the library districts extend beyond the county's borders. They already receive taxpayer money from those districts. But those districts that they get the money from are part of the school districts, which, again, extend beyond the borders. So essentially, we can be paying for other outside county residents, and I don't necessarily think that's fair to our taxpayers.
Chairman Donaldson and Legislator Bartels.
I believe that would probably, if there is, it's got to be a handful. It's not a lot, because these are going, this, you have to have a library card in order to add, you know, access these services. So you have the library card from your local library. So granted, you may be able to, maybe some that might be able to access that, virtually it's meant for the access for our Ulster County people. Now, if somebody else can access it, it's not hurting us by doing that. And yes, they all are taxing authorities. But what ends up happening is even the city of Kingston, one of the larger libraries, would not be able to afford these programs that they're putting in there. Because if they did that, they would be paying the $77,000 or whatever it may be, and they would have to pay it through their taxes. But in this case, instead, and no different than the Town of Olive Library, is now able to, if you're a member there, you can access all of these various programs that are put on online for anybody to access. So, I mean, I can understand that, well, you know, that's sort of what they, you know, in unintended purposes, that somebody may be able to get it. But I don't think that should be a reason to turn it down. I think it should be, if you want to turn it down, it should be turned down on its merit, on what it's providing for all of Ulster County residents.
So I have a number of folks, Legislator Bartels, Ronk, then Gavaris, and Haynes.
Yeah, I was just going to follow on the last comment and say that, you know, I believe that it's a subscription. We pay for the subscription, so I don't think we pay by the user. So even if some of the members of our library system live outside of the county, we wouldn't be paying extra for them using it. And I would also say that the same kind of benefit applies, you know, for those of us that live on borders of the county or nearby, you know, we may use libraries within the system, but across the county border, I could tell you that my daughter regularly goes to a library that's not in the county, but our main library is our Gardner Library, but we regularly go to another library as well. So I don't think there's any harm in it, because I don't think there's any additional fee related.
Legislator Ronk, then Gavaris, then Haynes.
Thank you. Maybe Amber can help. Amber, do you have offhand what the revised appropriation for the Library Association was after we made the reductions in the spring, summer?
84.5.
That was the reduced amount or the
original? No, the reduced amount is with 777.
Okay.
Their original was 84.5. Sorry. Okay, Legislator Gavaris?
Let Legislator Haynes go first.
Okay.
I really struggle with these. I really do. So I know that we're on libraries right now, but I would like to change my prior vote. I want to vote yes to the community action. I see that that was the same amount that they received last year, and I think that that's fair. I didn't have this screen up. I think the screen is really helpful. It's what they got last year as compared to what they're asking for this year, because I really, you know, unfortunately, we did a lot of reductions to these programs last year because of COVID, and I'm thinking moving forward, for most of them, there are still some I have certain issues with, but for most of them, I would like to stick with the same appropriation. So nonetheless, you got my change in my vote for community action. I will be changing my vote to a yes for that. And I just say moving forward, I would really suggest that we keep the same appropriations as we did last year for them with the reduction. Thank you.
Okay, Legislator Gavaris.
Okay, so I think we're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm talking about a philosophical view of doing things like this. The library, I 100% agree. This is a great service. We should be doing it. And when I say we, I mean taxpayers should pay for this. But I think it needs to be done by the districts. Now, Legislator Bartels, you said that you go to another library other than the one that's closer to you, but that it's still in the school district that you are living in. So then you're getting a benefit. My point exactly is, if you do it by the school districts, if they collectively agree that they're going to chip into this program as the Association of Libraries, then it's coming, the number of people paying for this becomes more, so the price per household is less. I think just to pay for the county to pay for it, it's not spread as much apart. That's what I guess it's just a philosophical view of this whole thing, not just related to this, but in general, any of these things that we fund.
Legislator Bartels, and then Chairman Donald.
My hand's been up, Legislator Archer.
Yeah, Legislator.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Apologize. Go ahead, Legislator Walter.
Okay, thank you. For me, you know, we had this conversation of which that the things that get funded by this should really be able to provide a service across the entire county. And I think, check, this does that, absolutely. That it needs to be an organization that isn't reliant just on this funding, check. There's other fundings that keep it going. But that they really need this funding in order to do what they do, and they do provide an important service. especially during a time of COVID. So I think it just sort of checks every single box for me of who I would want to fund. And I would have to say that I respect the concept, a philosophical concept, but like any of our programs, if someone is a runaway from Dutchess County who show up here and they need help, a family Woodstock would help them and not necessarily throw them away because they're from Dutchess County and it should be a service over in Dutchess County helping them. Like, I think that it doesn't upset me if somebody gets some benefit of our library. I'm sure someone in Ulster County at some point went over to another county and utilized their library services perhaps or up or down. So I feel like it's a wash in the end, but it represents the kinds of things we want to give this funding to in my mind. So I'm very supportive of it.
Okay, Legislator Bartels, then Chair Donaldson.
Yeah, I totally agree with Legislator Walter as it relates to the libraries. I'm with Legislator Gavaris. I'm confused about the school district issue because the libraries aren't currently funded by the school districts, right? They're by library district. Like in my town, it's a library district. It's not a school district. I don't know what you're saying because
they match. Their boundaries are the same as the school districts.
No, in Gardner, for example, Gardner is funded by the Gardner Library District, but Gardner kids are either in the New Paltz School District or the Walk Hill School District, so it doesn't go. But I can tell you that the card, it's a system card, so you can take that card and go to a library that's in the system, but that isn't in the county, and you can take out a book, and you can take out a movie, and you can go to their programs. And that's, you know, across the county lines because your card is a system-wide card. So I totally agree with Legislator Walter. This checks all the boxes for me. And particularly in the time of COVID, this, what we are actually funding is incredibly needed because it allows for digital access to movies and content. And again, since he's right here with a thumbs up, I'm going to thank Peter Criswell for turning me on to Canopy, which I use with my library card and I love and my daughter loves. And, you know, pre-COVID, our library is about to shut down again on Saturday, but pre-COVID, there were weeks where I was in the library 5 days a week with my daughter. So it's just, I feel like it's really, really worthwhile. And each of us has one of these in our community. So I'm strongly supportive.
Chair Donaldson.
Yes, I mean, this method of funding the libraries goes back to 2007, I believe it is. And the process was, not to fund individual libraries, but to fund association, which could then the individual libraries, even the very small libraries, it really benefits the smaller libraries, probably a little better than the larger libraries, but it really benefits all of them because they all get access to this program. So it was something that when it was done, it was, actually an innovative way of funding libraries. In fact, before that, there was a thing where I believe it was Dan Alfonso, and now I'm dating myself, but Dan Alfonso was the chairman at the time. And one of his pushes was he wanted to get library funding, a dollar for every resident in Ulster County. And at that time, before we had that budget breakdown where we had a 35% increase followed by another 12% increase, we were funding libraries at about $178,000, but they were given to individual libraries, which was really kind of problematic because they had their own taxing district, and some of them actually did not have a taxing district. And at that point, they did it voluntary-wise is the way they raised their money. Now I believe they all have a taxing district, if I'm correct, but they're all separate. They do not follow any school district. The Kingston Library is within the city of Kingston, so yes, that is part of the it's not part of the Kingston School District because it's totally separate. Although they may benefit from it because, I know when I've done tutoring, I would use the library as my spot because it made sense. I could meet there. So, I mean, as legislator Bartels and Walters pointed out, this kind of checks the boxes because every resident of Ulster County, there are actually a couple that may not because of the problem with access. But in theory, they all get to use this.
Okay, on the, I'm sorry, legislator Ronk.
That's okay. I'm just going to be very brief. I'll be supporting this. I think the library has provided a really mutually beneficial service to the county. And I like Legislator Donaldson and others have said, if we, if we asked each library to have this subscription service, it would be exponentially more expensive than the association having them. I will say that my library in Walk Hill doesn't benefit as much as others do because it's a member of the Ramapo Catskill Library System and not the Ulster County Library Association. I believe Ellenville is in the same boat, but I could be wrong about that. No? Okay. Legislator Guevara is shaking his head no.
Legislator Ronk, are we sure? Because I thought I saw on their header that it was one of the 21 libraries that is supported by this program.
I could be wrong. That could be newer, but I know that it's a member of the Ramapo Catskill Library System.
Yeah, because in the backup, it did have it listed, unless I misread it. So
it's one of the libraries, so they may have access to some.
It did say Walk Hill, so just FYI. Okay, Legislator Tavares?
Because apparently it's been totally lost as to what I've said since the beginning. I am in favor of this. I will be voting yes. I said this is a philosophical view of this funding. That's all I am saying. So the selling me on the expense is not a problem. I'm a yes. Take yes for an answer, please.
Thanks for the clarification. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Thank you. The next one is Budget Amendment 14, UPAC. Move? Someone move it, please?
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second? Legislator Guevara's. Good. Okay. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. This appropriation has always concerned me a little bit. I'll be voting no based on the fact that I find it absolutely unbelievable that they have the same exact utility costs when they're shut down as they do when they're open. It was an asinine comment. I can't believe it was made. I don't know how that's possibly true. Without stage lights alone, your utility costs are going to go down. I understand that you need to heat the building and you need to do other things, but there is absolutely positively no way their utility costs are the same when they're closed as when they're open.
Legislator Guevara's.
Yes, thank you. I'm a strong no on this. And I was very offended, I think, that by his comments that this is necessary expenses. And he even referenced, which I don't know if Legislator Bruno is on right now. I don't see him. But the gentleman had mentioned about we have to keep the HVAC running because of Legionnaires. And from a person who's been working in a facility that deals with that all the time, it's not there when your system is shut down. There is no concern over Legionnaires. And to Legislator Ron's point, when systems aren't running, there's no expense to them. You can winterize a building if you know it's not going to be used. The Shadowland did it. They're not running air conditioning or heat over the wintertime. They drained the pipes, they winterized the building, and they just kept the office running. That's it. There's no reason why the expenses should be the same as they were for this past year. It's impossible.
Legislator Haynes.
I understand that this paying for the utilities was, a give and get thing with UPAC, and I really appreciate them with everything they do with the kids. My kids both went there to see the Nutcracker, and that's wonderful. But the fact of the matter is that we're no longer doing that right now, but yet the appropriation that they're asking for is still exactly the same. I do not plan to support this because of that. Thank you.
Legislator Bartels.
Can we just get confirmation? What was their ask for? What did we fund last year in this line?
25. Let's see.
Before the cut.
Before 25. The cut, 24,750. Then we were going to reduce it, but we ended up at $24,750. Is that correct?
$12,375.
Okay, thank you. All in favor of this amendment? Walter, Bartels, Donaldson, and Archer opposed. Guevara's, Haynes, Mayo, Ronk. Okay. Amendment 15, Art Smith Hudson. Can someone move it for discussion?
I'll move it.
A move by Walter, seconded by Donaldson. Any questions, conversation? We ready to just go ahead and vote? Okay. On Arts Mid Hudson, putting them in at 80. Approve.
Can I ask a question? I'm sorry. Can you, just because I can't, I have all these screens open, can you tell me what they asked for last year, what we approved, and then what we ended up funding after the amendments?
They asked for 91.5. Mm-hmm. No, wait, sorry. 2020 was 96.75. And the contracted value was 61,305.
61,305.
Yeah, it was reduced.
Yep.
This this resolution would put them at the funding from the year before. At 80.
The year before, you mean 19?
19 was 91,5. So it's still under 19.
Yeah. That's soil and water.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Where are they?
So this was a $90,000 2020 adopted budget. The contract for 2020 was $60,000, and their request was for $80,000.
They reduced their request.
Thank you. Yeah, I looked at the wrong line. Thank you. They're all blurring together at this juncture. Legislator Haynes.
Again, I see the value in this program, but I would only support it if it was at the same reduced amount as 2020. Thank you.
Legislator Bartels.
That's just for clarification. Legislator Haynes, you're saying you would support it at 60,000?
Legislator Bartels.
You know, I too am struggling. I'm struggling with these. Although I really do see the benefit, and I, you know, I'm concerned again that there'll be so much less money available for these kinds of projects and these kinds of initiatives, which are, you know, a huge part of our county. So I don't know. I'm curious what everyone else thinks about the potential of the lowered number.
Legislator Haynes.
You know, and the other thing that, you know, we're moving into 2021, knowing that we're going into a pandemic. These organizations, although it might have been really difficult to fundraise, there have been other organizations that have been doing virtual fundraisers to help offset costs for their organizations. And this, just moving into 2021, it's really not unknown. It wasn't an unknown thing. So I would have hoped that some of them would have found a mechanism in which to try to, you know, raise some funds on their own. And that's why I would definitely vote for a reduced amount.
Legislator Walter, then Ronk.
I'd like to add that this is economic development as well. These are people's jobs. They support many artists, and this is how the art, you know, that is a viable job to have in our county that we appreciate. And so I really, again, it checks the boxes for me in that it reaches the wide county. It fills a niche that we need. But, you know, it's not the full support for these artists, but it helps many of the artists get through. And especially in the time of COVID, I feel like it's, again, it's necessary to recognize this is somewhat different than UPAC for me. I mean, I supported that as well. But again, many people are supported in their work through this funding as artists, and I think it's really, really important that we maintain their their amount.
Legislator Criswell wanted to speak too.
Yes, I did. I just wanted to get members first. I did see him. Legislator Ronk, then Criswell.
Thanks. I'll put an option on the table. I make a motion that we amend the amendment that would go to the floor to be 60,000 instead of 80,000.
And Legislator Haynes, you'll second that? Why don't we give Legislator Criswell an opportunity to speak before we vote on that? Thank you.
Just really briefly, I wanted to piggyback off what Legislator Walter was saying, that these are mostly individual artists, so they're actually not, the money's not going to nonprofit organizations that who can raise funds. These individual artists actually don't have the opportunity to go and do fundraising in that same way. So it really is supporting individuals and helping them stay alive during this pandemic. So I strongly suggest supporting it.
Okay, Legislator Ronk, then Chairman Donaldson.
Thanks. Through the chair to Legislator Criswell, in past years, portions of this funding have gone for administration to Archibald Hudson. Is that not the case now?
No, it still does.
It still does. I'm just saying it also supports a lot of individual artists.
Understand.
Chairman Donaldson?
Yes, this, like the libraries, this was done back in 2007. They began the process because what was happening is the way we were funding the artists, it really wasn't fair in a sense. It was who you knew is basically who got the money. In this case, it's done by a panel. So yes, there is a significant administrative cost because what they do is they actually are many artists and putting artists together, to actually work on, to make even a better piece of work, shall we say, sometimes. They actually they coordinate various efforts in fundraising for other art groups. So they do that, but it's kind of difficult to do right now. Like they assisted the Midtown Art District in one point in helping them in a fundraising effort just by being there. They weren't, and then they've done that in Ellenville, they've done it in Saugerties, they've done it various places to help artists actually work more comprehensively together. And they often fund, seed money, like somebody brought up the Festival of the Voice. That was actually funded by a grant of, I think, $2,000 or $3,000 that they got. And now, of course, because of COVID, it's not doing well, but it brought like 20,000 people up into the mountains. The Festival of the Voice at one point. So that's part of what they do. We kind of get them to try to give seed money more than necessarily constantly re-supporting the same people. So it does check the boxes because it does work all over the county.
So we have an amendment to amend the amount to 60,000. All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The amendment fails on the amended amount. On the amendment.
I'm sorry, can I hear those votes again? I only saw three opposed.
Yes, that's correct. Three opposed. Haynes, Mayo, Ronk.
So the amendment passes.
Gavaris, you're opposing the amendment. Sorry. The amendment.
Wait. Let's see, do the vote over again for the amendment.
Yes. Yeah, on the good. Amended amount, 60,000, all in favor of that amount?
Aye.
Three. As you have it now? Haynes, Ronk, Mayo. Okay, on the actual amendment at 80, all in favor?
My concern is... I would look at it, if the whole thing is going to go down for the 80, I would vote for the amendment. If I would rather see that happening than nothing.
Legislator Gavaris.
Can I ask through the chair to the legislators who voted for the 60,000, would they consider doing something less of like 50, but putting money into contingency set aside for this? Because I'm concerned about 2021. I think that number one, there is federal money being given to people, and artists are now getting that where they didn't get it before, and that's separate of the endowments for the arts. There's additional money that's being given, so there is other funds out there for that. I think that there's other things like Woodstock, Family of Woodstock. There's other programs that I think are going to have a greater need in 2021 than this. And even at 60,000, I'm still thinking that's high. I got to be honest.
Legislator Rock.
I'd like to change my vote to accept the amendment at 60.
I would like to answer Legislator Gavaris's question first, if I could.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would support something lower than 60, Legislator Gavaris, and putting the rest into contingency. You know, 60,000 to me, you know, in my discussions with some of my colleagues on my side of the aisle would be a good compromise because it's what they got last year. You know, I've always had concern about this contract with Artsman Hudson, but when you've got legislators putting in, you know, salary decreases for our own employees, I can't justify giving $80,000 to Artsman Hudson. I totally tend to agree with where you're coming from on it. So, I would consider that if that was going to be supported.
Legislator Gavaris.
I wasn't suggesting we do the full 80,000. I was saying 50 in the budget, 10 in contingency.
Agreed.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, I changed my vote to accept the 60,000 amendment.
Okay, so
I'd like to change my vote to accept the amendment too.
So on the amendment to 60, can we get a recount here? All in favor?
I'm still in favor of the 60.
Okay, so we have everyone in favor of the 60 except for Legislator Gavaris, correct? Thank you. So 60 it is. All righty. The next amendment.
So now vote to approve the amended.
Oh, sorry. On the amended amendment, amended amendment mount.
Aye.
All in favor. Thank you. Everyone is a yes. Okay. Thank you. Next we have amendment 17 or 16, Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District.
I'll move it.
Second.
Seconded.
Chairman Donaldson, any questions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved unanimously. The next one is Amendment 17, Cornell Cooperative Extension. Move.
I'll move it.
Second, Chairman Donaldson, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous votes. Next we have Amendment 18, Awareness. Move.
I'll move it.
Second. I'll second it for discussion. Legislator Bartels.
I just wanted to ask if someone could run the numbers by us, what was asked for last year, what was approved in the budget, and what we amended it to.
The 2020 budget was $12,500. The contract was $6,250, and the request was for $20,000.
Thank you.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I mean, you know, my concern with this organization is well documented over the years. I've shown up in a couple of documents that the proprietor has put together, I believe, mischaracterizing things that have gone on in the past between myself and the organization when I was chair. You know, but I've always found my biggest concern has always been that I've always found their accounting to be curious. Of expenses that were being billed to the county. This is another organization kind of like UPAC where I wonder how the expenses are possibly the same amount in a pandemic world as they are pre-pandemic. You know, Zoom accounts are not that expensive. I think that's where a lot of these group things are happening. I don't know if she's delivering pizzas to the individual houses of the peer, you know, counselors and you know, peer-to-peer folks, but you know, a lot of the money was in travel and pizza and whatnot. You know, I can't support it without a detailed accounting of how this would be spent.
Legislator Haynes.
I do not intend to support this, and there is not even an amendment that would convince me to support this. Thank you.
Legislator Bartels, then Chairman Donaldson.
Do we have, has the contract been executed for 2020, and do we have an accounting of where the, what they would have spent on?
It has not been executed at this time.
Is this the only one outstanding?
No, they're all outstanding at this time.
Chairman Donaldson?
Right, they're all outstanding because we're having a bit of a feud as to who signs the paper. In the past, the paper was always signed by the chairman of the legislature. Well, the county attorney is claiming that they had to be signed by the executive, which, of course, our attorney's argument is that they do not have to be signed by the executive because they are contracts that the legislature is entering into. So we're having a little problem with that. So, but the problem is some of these nonprofits are really needing the money and they're not getting it, and they're struggling. And so I'm getting a little aggravated with the thing, and I've had some conversations with Clint about it, but I'm not sure where we're going to go with this. But we're going to have to get them. You know, they're going to have to be executed. Now, having said that, for this particular one, I mean, some of these I put in, like the soil and water, I put that in because I knew that the process had to be followed. It wasn't necessarily something that, you know, was my bailiwick, shall we say, on that one. And in this big particular one, I put this in because I know some legislators will, you know, wanted it. So I put it in so you could have the discussion. So I'm not going to sit here and make an argument for it.
Legislator Bartels.
Can I just, so I understand that there's a problem with actually executing the contract, but has this organization provided the backup for a contract to be executed at this point? It's just being held in contract management, or have they not yet provided all the backup?
So they don't have to provide the backup until it's time to pay the invoice. And since the contract hasn't been executed, there's no invoice to try to pay. So they've provided everything to execute the contract. We just haven't gotten to that next piece.
Legislator Walter. Thank you, Natalie.
I'm all for prevention and I'm for peer-to-peer support. I kind of have to agree with what some of the other people have been saying at this time. And I'm back to my box ticking. You know, this isn't something that's broad across the whole county. When I look at what they want the funding for, which is materials and pizza, you know, we're in a pandemic. The schools are closing again. It's one thing to take away funding that really gets in their way of continuing services. But if it's funding for services they can't really provide anyway, or are very limited, I think I agree that this, you know, perhaps in future years, but at this point, if anything was to get cut, this would probably be something I would support cutting.
So why don't we get to a vote? A vote in favor of this amendment, all in favor?
I'm not raising my
hand. Okay, you have a question?
Wiley, sorry. Yeah, I'm struggling with this one as well, but I can say that if I was going to support it, I definitely would want to see it at the previous level, at the amended level.
Okay, any other comments before we take the vote? Okay, so on this amendment, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You want me to make a motion? I don't know if anyone would be supportive of an amendment to amend it to the 2020 level, which if I followed that right was... 6,250. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
So I make that motion.
Is there a second on? There's no second. Okay. On the amendment as it currently stands, all in favor?
I'll be a yes.
Okay, one yes. Opposed? Okay, the remainder are
opposed. I can't support it at this level.
Okay. All right. The next is Dispute Resolution Center, Amendment 19. A motion to move?
I'll move it.
Thank you. Seconded by Chair Donaldson. Any conversation, any questions? Chairman Donaldson?
Yes, this is, this is the CASA program that Dispute Resolution runs for the county at this point. And if anybody needs to know anything about that, I can explain it, but I don't think I need to. It's been a program that's been around quite a while, and it used to be a standalone. So we actually funded this at higher levels in the past, but due to Dispute Resolution taking it over, they use their administration in order to carry out the court-appointed special advocates. So it is a program that is used by the various family court judges. So it's a protective program for children that are get in the system.
Okay, any other questions? Legislator Bartels.
Can Amber or Natalie just provide the numbers again from last year, please?
Last year,
the budget for 2020 was $39,750. The 2020 contract value was $26,500, and their request was for $26,500.
Thank you.
Okay, on the amendment, all in favor? Opposed? Legislator Guevaras, are you opposed? Oh, you're for it. Thank you. So we had no opposition. Legislator Ronk wasn't in the room. Okay. The next is Amendment 20, Supervised Visitation, Family of Woodstock. Move for discussion.
I'll move it, Bartels.
Second.
Thank you. Any questions? Legislator Bartels.
First, Amber, can you do the same thing, run the 2020 numbers? I'm sorry, I have too many screens open.
The 2020 appropriation was $30,000. The 2020 contract was $20,000. And the request was for $30,000.
Okay. Can I make a comment?
Yes, please.
Thank you. So I think that this is... It appears to be an important program, despite the fact that it is not mandated. I would like to support it in some fashion moving forward into 2021, but I really think we need to have a sit down with Michael Berg and members of county government to understand, to really get a better handle on this. I had a very long conversation with Michael Iaposi. Now it's months ago. But I frankly feel we need more clarity on this moving forward.
Chairman Donaldson?
I don't know if, I think there's a little mix up because it is, I believe it's mandated that it has to be done, but it's not mandated that Woodstock does it. It's going to be done by somebody.
Can I just speak to that?
Legislator Ronk, then Haynes.
I believe that supervised visits are required to be done, but you know, the county is not required to pay for the supervised visits. The parents are required to pay for the supervised visits. The county has in the past paid for the, you know, supervised visits of some folks through Family of Woodstock that, you know, either can't come to an agreement
between the, you know, custodial and non-custodial parents, or that don't have the means to pay for a third party when you can't come to an agreement. So I think that's the confusion, the mandated versus non-mandated, is that the county is not mandated to pay for it. The service is mandated to be provided if there is to be a visit.
Legislator Haynes?
Yeah, that is absolutely correct in what Legislator Ronk did say. I mean, it could be provided for by a mental health professional, you know, once the judge determines that there should be supervised visitation, but it is not incumbent on the government to provide that service. However, I would have to say that this is important, and I would not want to see us just pull the rug out from under this. However, I would like to support a reduction. I'd like to see if we could do an amendment to the previous year's amount of $20,000.
Legislator Bartels?
Well, there's an amendment on the floor first.
Oh, so somebody want to second that amendment?
Was that that was a motion, Legislator Haynes?
Okay. Yes. And Mary Beth Mayo seconded. For discussion before we vote, Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, it's not exactly on the amendment, but on the subject, whether it has the amendment or not. I wholly agree with Legislator Haynes. That was my thinking this morning, the pulling the rug out from under them. That's exactly, I do think we need to do some more research and we need to understand this better. But until we do, I don't want to stop the program. I'd also, in our research and in our further investigation, I think we should look to other counties and see what other counties do. Again, can learn a lot from our neighbors. And it may be in the end that this is the best way to administer the program, and that we think it's worthy at whatever level we end up funding moving forward. But I do want to get a better handle on this. I want to know what our neighbors do, et cetera. So I am willing to support it today, but I don't want the conversation to stop today.
Chairman Donaldson.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's got to be some understanding. It is required to do. We may not be required to pay for it. But when we bring up the idea that maybe in mental health, sometimes the court may order that it may be done, and they would be a mental health specialist that does it. Well, in that case, if it cannot be paid by them people, those people, it will be paid by the county. So in some ways, it will be paid by the county, and if they did not have the money to do it themselves. I agree with Legislator Bartels. We should probably look at this in other ways to see how other counties do this. In fact, I brought up the idea that this should be put into the county executive's budget, but the problem is Bert was unsure where it would go because it wouldn't fall into social services, he said, because of the way it's set up. So I really would hate to see someone not being able to see the non-custodial parent because there's no one doing it for us. And I have a feeling, to be honest, I mean, in the end, I think we would probably end up paying more because I believe it would still have to be done in some way or form. If it's ordered by the court, it's going to be done.
Okay, so, Legislator Walter, then Bartels.
I just wanted to say that I feel like this is a service that no one else really provides. It's very important. We contract out with many of these different agencies because we don't provide and aren't able to provide these services, and I'd be very hesitant to make any kinds of reductions in something like this that has a high importance.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. One thing to also remember, unless this has been mentioned already, is that, you know, Family of Woodstock could still fundraise for these services. Family of Woodstock, I don't believe, has said that they're going to cease the services if this is not passed. I believe that his exact words were that they would try to fundraise for it, you know. Again, you know, it's not a service that we're providing. It's a service that Family Woodstock is providing that we are paying for.
Okay, so we have an amendment on the table for to amend this amendment to 20,000. All in favor of amending this amendment to 20,000? We have Gavaris, Haynes, Mayo, Ronk. Okay. Opposed? The amendment at 20,000 passes. So on the amended amount?
It fails, no. Legislator Archer.
We had 1, 2, 3, 4. I didn't count myself. Sorry.
Okay.
It's been a long week.
I just started. I do understand the need for with some of this, but I think the 20 may be a little low. I mean, I would go at a 25 if those people would support that aspect of it, because I think they're still going to be spending, probably they'll probably end up spending more like 25 this year instead of the 30. So if anybody wants to go to the 25, I'd be willing to do that one.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I'd be more inclined to stay at the 20 and then,
but the 20 didn't pass.
See if family could fundraise the other five.
Legislator Bartels.
We're back to the previous situation. In the event that it stays at 30, would those who wanted the amendment no longer support this? Can I just ask through the chair?
I won't support it at 30.
I don't want to see it go away, so that's difficult.
Legislator Hayes, would you do toward 25?
Yes.
All right.
I would do 25.
I make a motion to change the 25.
Second. All in favor of the amended amount to 25? Opposed? Legislator Ronk, the only opposition. On the amended amount of 25,000?
My hand was up for opposed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
For opposing reasons, but opposed.
Okay. I'm sorry. I missed that. So we have two, Legislator Ronk and Walter, on the amended. Okay. On the amended amount of 25, all in favor? Opposed? Legislator Ronk, the only opposition. Thank you. The next is amendment number 21, People's Place. Move. Second.
I'll second it, Bartels.
Okay. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I just want to reiterate my continuing opposition to funding the People's Place out of the county coffers. I can tell you that there's multiple, food pantries in many of the towns in the county, including in my town, in my hamlet of Shanga, town of Shanga, my hamlet of Walk Hill, including the Loaves and Fishes Food Pantry, which tomorrow is going to be giving out 225 Thanksgiving baskets, which is about 100 more than last year. So that means that there's 100 more needy families in need of a Thanksgiving basket than there was last year, and they're not receiving a dime of county funds. I would be comfortable if we were giving $10,000 to the Food Bank of the Hudson Valley, which distributes food to all of the food pantries in Ulster County. But, we're just singling out one here. And to me, it's where, it's when you start picking favorites with organizations like this that you really start to have problems. Because, I said this during last year's budget, maybe it makes me a bad legislator that I'm not bringing forward $10,000 or $5,000 for the Loaves and Fishes Food Pantry, but that's not how I see the county budget. I think you can support things like, the Food Bank of the Hudson Valley, like I say, which supports all of them. You can support the Library Association, which supports all of them. When you pick one organization like this, even though it does more than the city of Kingston, I understand that. Many legislators have brought that up, but it's the Kingston central area that this more than anything supports. I know that there's multiple food pantries in many towns across Ulster County that aren't receiving any funds, as part of this, and they're seeing the same increases in need as the People's Places.
Chairman Donaldson?
It's a, I certainly understand that. In fact, this original amendment was not put in by anybody from the city of Kingston. It was actually put in from somebody outside the Kingston. Just so, as a point of information, yesterday and today, they have handed out 1,300 turkey dinners. Or turkey, in other words, thing for them to make their turkey dinners at home. 1,300 of them. They came from all over the county to come get them from the People's Place. I just want to, you know, put it in perspective on what they're doing and what they're using the money for. It's not 140 or 120, it's 1,300.
Legislator Haynes, then Bartels.
Again, I'm fairly certain I'll only support this at the amount that they received last year, which was $5,000. So I will make that amendment to reduce the amendment to a total of $5,000 from $10,000.
Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second the amendment. I'll support the amendment, but I don't plan to support the amendment as a whole.
Legislator Bartels.
Can Amber give that? So last year, did they ask for 10,000 last year and got five, or what? What was the?
The 2020 budget was 10,000. Mm-hmm. The contract value for 2020 is 5,000, and the request is for 10,000.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? On the motion to amend, I'm sorry, up, Legislative Walter, sorry.
You know, I feel like I'm gonna sound a bit hypocritical. Typically, I would completely agree with Legislator Ronk's point because this is very focused in Kingston. I guess the only thing I wanna add to that though is that the density of people in need, I would assume, are in Kingston. Not to say there are not people in need across our entire county, but in terms of density and ends, like the number of people, I would imagine that the highest number of people who need the service happen to be located in Kingston. And you will hear, like, typically I'm not advocating for things that are Kingston-centric, but I just wonder, just to put that out there as a consideration. Again, not percentage of people in poverty, because I know Ellenville's higher, but the number of people who might need the service. I just want us to consider that possibility.
Okay. Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. And are you still speaking on the amendment? Because I'll wait till the resolution if you're still speaking on the amendment, because I'd like to speak on the resolution itself.
So go ahead. You can. Okay. We haven't voted on the amendment yet.
Okay.
So go ahead.
So when we were going through the budget appeals, People's Place came to the budget appeals, and the question was asked of them, what specific program would the money be used for? And I think the director said, well, they weren't sure. They were just throwing it in the general fund. And I think that's counter to what the whole idea of what we make other organizations go through and tell them exactly what are you going to be using this money for. My recollection is that we never got that answer from the People's Place as a legislature during the budget appeal. I was wondering if you guys did get that.
Natalie, you've got the backup there.
I asked the question after our meeting and I never heard a response.
Right. So
it's in the request for funding.
I thought it was in the actual document.
It is. It is 18,831 for housing assistance and 9,919 is program support. So that part is general, yes. But the other one, and it lists rent, assistance, and other kinds of.
So it was in there. The director just wasn't able to articulate the request fairly. Is that accurate?
Also, well, it's true that almost 10,000 of it is program support, so that general.
Yeah. Yeah. So my suggestion is that, you know, I'm not saying don't give, you know, People's Place. They do wonderful work there, and I know that they do you know, certainly service people from a lot more than just Kingston and, you know, a handful of the towns around Kingston. But I just think that if we're going to hold every organization to a standard to tell us exactly how they're going to spend that money, that should be equal across all the requests and not be general, allow one organization to be generalized as opposed to the rest. Thank you.
Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I agree with Legislator Cahill, and I recall that being an issue in the last budget cycle as well. And when I spoke with our consultants, they said that, you know, that we would be writing the contract to be a specific service that would be for us, because we're the ones writing the contract, correct? Natalie's nodding, so is Amber. But I share those concerns. I also I struggle with this one because I share Legislator Ronk's concerns. You know, in general, I don't like to see an organization that's specific to one area, particularly when there are multiple organizations across the county that do similar work. And that's not to take away from the magnitude of the work that the People's Place does. And like Legislator Ronk, I haven't, you know, in all the years I've been here, I haven't brought forward anything support, you know, for that's my district centric. I haven't brought an amendment asking for something for my district, in part because it makes it feel like members items. But this year and this time with this resolution in front of us, and the need being so great, I have a hard time saying no. So I don't know. I'm struggling with this one as well.
We just had a point of clarification from Natalie that the 2020 contract was very specific to food programs. Correct, Natalie?
Yeah, I think that's what we had asked for.
In this meeting last year, that mm-hmm. is what you specifically asked for.
So we could direct it again this year then.
Chairman Donaldson.
Yes, I get a little confused when Legislator Walters was talking about the program. I think she was mixing them up with Community Action, their request. In this case here, again, I have to, you know, reiterate some of what Legislator Walters pointed out is the concentration of need. You know, Kingston area is a very diverse area. You know, there's a lot of people that economically deprived in many ways. You know, there's a race issue that gets thrown in there. There's all kinds of things that get thrown in this particular spot and what they do and the programs that they push. As I pointed out, 1,300 turkey, things for turkey dinners was passed out in the past couple of days and are continuing tomorrow. And they bring them from all over, and they also do a number of other programs helping out, people of need. And I certainly understand, and I think we should probably take a look at all of the pantries and how they work. The reason this one is put forth is because of the number. It's a very large number. It's, you're not going to see this probably combined in all the rest of the county because they're right in the concentration in this area. And they're actually, in some cases, some people actually come in on a bus to go to the People's Place. So it is something that is a little different, and I certainly understand why people would feel a little apprehensive, you know, because it's sort of Kingston centered, okay. But, you know, it's the population center.
Okay, we have Legislator Guevara, then Ronk.
Thank you. So to answer Chairman Donaldson's point there, while there may be a significant amount of people in the city of Kingston, and I think Legislator Walter mentioned it before, my area is far more impoverished than the city of Kingston percentage-wise. But none of the places in my district are asking for money either. Aroma Time has been doing an annual Thanksgiving meals for people. They serve almost 1,000 meals, no taxpayer money at all, completely done on donations. There's a food bank in Ellenville through one of the churches. Again, never a dime of anybody's money. It's just donations. They run that weekly. And there's a soup kitchen run weekly through actually Reverend Collins's church. Again, all done through donation, no taxpayer money. If we're going to do something, it's got to be for all, not just the one location.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. The 225 that I mentioned, Legislator Donaldson, just in your comment about the 1300 is just for the Loaves and Fishes food pantry, which is one of three food pantries that serve the town of Shangham alone. As Legislator Guevara said, there are several in Ellenville and Wawarsing, and there's at least two in the town of Lloyd, and there's some in New Paltz, and there's some all over the county. So I would venture to say that from a Thanksgiving basket perspective, the ones in the town of Shangham might come close to equaling what the People's Place has been giving out. I think that if you added them all up around the county, it'd be in the thousands, not just less than the 1300 number that you had mentioned. Like Legislator Guevara said, all these other food pantries are they're raising funds for these things. They're getting donations. Some of them, my father is a pastor, in Grahamsville and Sullivan County, just over the county border. They're doing a reverse Advent calendar where you bring in a certain number of food items, each of the days in December to restock the food pantry after Thanksgiving. There's a lot of need across the county. I just have a concern about, focusing our county dollars on this particular need in this particular place.
Legislator Walter and then Legislator Litz.
Yeah. Thank you. So yes, I see now, and it was very big, but unfortunately the backup for People's Place is the backup for Community Action. So do we have the actual request for funding for People's Place, because it's labeled wrong?
I can email that out to everybody right now.
Thank you.
Okay, Legislator Litz.
Well, if we were to base the dollar value going out on a poverty level, then Plattekill should get it all.
Chairman Donaldson.
Just as a point of information, they do a great deal of fundraising. In fact, the 1,100 of those turkeys were donated by Diamond Mills out of Saugerties, because there are people from Saugerties that go into the People's Place. So, I put it in because it was in from the year before, and I do know that what they do is pretty massive for the area. So when I understand why people are reluctant to put in one area, and maybe we should start looking at another formula. But I mean, I still support this in the People's Place because the mere numbers that they do serve.
So right now we have an amendment on the table to reduce it to last year's funding. All in favor of reducing to last year's funding? Okay, we have Mayo, yes, Tracy Bartels, Heidi Haynes, Eve Walter, and myself. Opposed? Guevaras, Ronk, and Chairman Donaldson. Okay, the amendment to 5,000 passes. Let's all those in favor of the amended amount to 5,000? Opposed? Legislator Ronk and Guevaras. Thank you. Next, we have Amendment 22, Sawkill Fire Company. Take a motion to move it. Do we have a motion to move this?
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second.
Thank you. Second, thank you.
Yeah, I'll just, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I'm still recovering from the bruises in the first meeting on this one, so I'm okay with what we do here. Thank you.
Any comments? Okay. All in favor of this amendment? Opposed? Unanimous. Okay. The next one, budget amendment number 23, is domestic violence.
I'll move it.
Second?
Seconded.
Thank you. Legislator Wrong.
Thanks. Question to Commissioner Golnick. Is he still on?
Yes, he is.
It was relayed to me by the county executive's office that this funding for this program is in the budget. It would just take us extending the contract. Is that correct?
I don't believe this is the amendment, Ken.
Oh, sorry. My fault.
It's the next one.
It's number 25.
Understood. I thought it was both of them. Yeah. Never mind.
24-25. Okay. Legislator Rock.
Thanks. I do believe that this is an important service to be provided. I'll be supporting this amendment, but I sincerely hope that when it comes to the floor, we can find another place to take it from.
My hands up.
Legislator Walter.
Thank you. Just want to point out to all of the other legislators that the executive identified a different source. And so that it is, if you see the backup, it's now from real property tax, no longer from Tech City. So I just want to make sure you all saw that, again, the executive's office identified a source that they agreed, talked to Legislator Criswell about, and he felt comfortable with.
Sorry, I was looking at an old amendment. So,
sorry to interrupt. It wasn't real property tax. It's actually auction revenue because we're going to have more parcels next year.
Okay. It says
we
that
need to
on
make
there,
that change.
It's just the category. Sorry.
It says other real property tax items.
Yeah.
Okay. And just great.
One more, and that sure. Covers the two family, this one and the next amendment. Just to say that changed.
Right. Yeah, correct. I was more concerned with the expense of the offset at the 101 Enterprise Drive in terms of the gas and electric there.
And do we have a projection on revenue for the auction?
Lynn, I really won't have that until I know how many parcels will be in the auction, but I know I'm carrying all of this year in the next.
Okay, so your expectation is it'll be greater?
Yeah.
Okay. And is that revenue earmarked for anything else?
It's just to offset any general fund expenses per se.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. On this amendment, all in favor? Opposed? Moved unanimously. The next one is number 24, family violence option.
I'll move it.
Second? Thank you, Chairman. Okay, any other comments on this one? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Moved unanimously. The next one is Budget Amendment 25. This is Family Assistance. Move.
I'll move it.
Second? Second it. Thank you. Legislator Walter.
Thank you. So, yes, echoing what Legislator Ronk spoke about earlier for the other ones. The executive's office identified that the funding for these programs were included in the DSS budget. We had our finance people investigate it to confirm that this is true and valid. And they did identify that it was true and valid, that it is present in the DSS budget. I'm still not sure why then, these programs were told they were cut by 50%. So what's going to have to happen is when the resolution comes in front of us, I know for myself and Peter, we will ensure that the full amount that we're asking for here is in that resolution when they go to contract. Unfortunately, because it is in the, it's in the DSS budget, not so specifically, but it's there. we can't put in an amendment because it's already in the budget. But that said, we are going to watch this, and it is our expectation to, again, when the contract comes in front of us, to ensure that the full amount that we're proposing here is what's going to be funded. I wish there was another way to do this. I just want to say that I'm very uncomfortable with the idea that this agency has to just trust that we're going to do the right thing. I have the commitment from Mark Ryder that this money is there, and that we will definitely have that capacity to ensure that they are fully 100% funded. It puts them in a very terrible position of having to just trust that it'll all go fine. I am sorry that it even had to come to this kind of circumstance where they're told they're being 50% cut. But unfortunately, I'm being told even by our council that there's just, we cannot put an amendment if CSS is confirming that money is available in the full.
So Legislator Walter, do you have that in writing, or was it a conversation?
So I have a very brief message from Mark Ryder saying that if we wanted to fund this in full, the money is available in DSS.
Okay,
that is pretty much verbatim of what I have. I was hoping he'd be here today so that I can specifically ask. I don't know if Bert wants to state it.
What's the answer to that?
The funding is in the expense line. The contracts within that were reduced because they are kind of a point of service contract. So, you know, DSS was going to see where those contracts stood. They would have to come to you to amend those contracts if the spending did escalate. But the funding is in the budget for those contracts.
But just to be clear, Bert, the contract has to come to us even initially. Is that true?
You know, you're probably right, because I'd have to see when the expiration date was on the original contract.
That's what I'm trusting, you know, is that this contract has to come to us from the very beginning so that we can immediately add in the full amount, because I'm not comfortable. If that's not true and it's going to go in one way or another, then I'm going to just push this amendment anyway.
Go ahead.
I understand. I will say too, Eve, in terms of the amendment that is in front of you, I did check with DSS. They are capped on this program when it comes to federal aid.
So the current contract expires 12/31 of this year.
Okay. Yeah, that I wasn't sure. But in terms of the amendment that you do have, the Family Assistance Program as a federal flexible funding program, that is capped. So even if you were to pursue this amendment, I would recommend you'd have to use a different revenue.
Legislator Criswell.
So I'm confused. I'm hearing that the money is in the budget. So why are we not fully funding this? I just simply don't understand it. So if somebody could clearly explain that to me, I'd appreciate it.
Commissioner Gulnick?
I think it's clear as mud, Peter.
I will try to say that DSS reduced the contracts because the services of those contracts are on an as-needed basis. So they didn't feel with COVID that they would need the entire service.
Legislator Walter, then Ron.
Add that even if it was fully funded, it's still an as-needed basis, and that only if they requested the services would they be reimbursed. So there's no reason in my mind to not provide the full amount. That doesn't change it being as needed. That's just how these contracts are. And so what it does do is it creates an insecurity for this program where they'll potentially let people off and because they're not sure how this is all going to go down. So, I mean, I would really want confirmation that this is coming. If I can't make this amendment now, that this comes before us, this contract, when it gets reinstated after December 31st, which should be very soon after, that way Legislator Criswell and I have the opportunity to make sure that the full amount is in that contract. Again, it's a fee for service, so that's nothing changes.
I think the important thing to remember as well is that they are staffing to fulfill the needs of this program. If they are not going to, if their funding is being cut in half, they cannot maintain their current staffing levels. And if you let those people go and then down the road, we realize we need that, we don't have the resources to cover it. So it is a little disconcerting to be going out there and cutting a program and yet telling us that we have all the funding there. So it is a bit confusing, Bert.
That I'm not arguing with.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to hear that. Legislator Wrong.
Thanks. You know, to the to Legislator Criswell's comment about it being fully funded, but the contracts being cut. You know, in the end, if our our financial analysts have confirmed that the money is in the DSS budget, the legislature by resolution can enter into contract with the organization to fully fund the services. So if 16 legislators say that this is a valid service and needs to move forward, at the current level, we have the ability to do that.
Chairman Donaldson.
I still see this as clear as mud. Because it doesn't quite give me the information that makes sense here. I mean, it's in the budget. It's not in the budget. We can fund it. Well, we can't fund it. I'm pretty confused with this whole thing. I know I was originally confused when it was first put in because they were advised they were being cut 50%. And then when I inquired about it, they said no, they weren't being cut 50%. It was still in there, but they may only give them 50% of the money because that may be only what they're using. So it's really, it makes it kind of confusing to me. I mean, I have no problem with putting this amendment in, but I mean, it's confusing whether we need it or not. And it just seems like whatever is said just seems to muddy the waters even more. I'm still not clear. Is anybody else? Can anybody else explain it to me to make my little pea brain gather it in?
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. It's my understanding as far as this is, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, is that we do not need this amendment, but it's incumbent upon the legislature to ensure that the contract is fully funded. So this amendment is superfluous because the money is already in the budget, so we don't need to add more money into the budget. But then it's going to be incumbent upon us, and as many legislators have said, if it's a not to exceed contract and it's based on reimbursements, then we're not going to pay out more services than they provide. So we just have to ensure, and we have our contract financial staff to be able to do so, and we'll make sure that the any funds that are are paid out are based on services that were rendered. But I do not believe, Legislator Donaldson, that this amendment is necessary if our budget analysts, as well as the budget director, have confirmed that the money is in the DSS budget for this contract.
Legislator Bartels.
The one thing, we're just a portion of the body. We're not a majority of the body sitting here. And so the one thing that concerns me is how do we communicate the confidence to the agencies that are right now making decisions about their staffing and their caseloads and the work that they could take on without a formal something. I don't know the answer to that. I'm just posing it because I know that if I were in their shoes, I'd be concerned, having heard from the executive's office that your budget's going to be cut by 50%. And now one committee is talking about reestablishing the full budgetary amount, but without sending something to the floor and getting a vote of the body, I know I would remain concerned.
Can we do a technical amendment, basically identifying the pot of money and basically earmarking a specific dollar amount to this group in the amendment?
last year we requested that monies be earmarked through a memorandum to the county executive.
Clerk Fabella, do you have an opinion on this, helping us navigate this? Because I mean that what we're talking about is trying to give a level of confidence to an organization who has to make important staffing decisions based on what was communicated to them by the administration and what we're looking to try and get some agreement on, or at least get to the floor to get agreement from the body.
Let me talk to Council Ragucci about it. The money is already in the proposed budget, and so there's nothing to really amend. What you're asking for is a full amount of a contract. To me, again, the way to do that is when we get the contract in, and we can see there's already draft contracts in the system. We can see they're working on it. So that is when we would take action. However, I completely understand what you're saying. So I want to talk to Chris about some sort of statement amendment that we might be able to do to almost like a policy resolution, that it's the policy that the county will fund this in full. But I got to wrap my head around it.
Okay. All right. Legislator Haynes.
I would just like to call a point of order with the public comments. I know that they're eager and that their resolutions are in front of us for the amendments, but we are convening a committee meeting right now. We don't typically take public comment at this point. Thank you.
Can I have my hands up also?
Legislator Walter.
Thanks. I mean, I guess I agree with Legislator Ronk in that there is no need for this amendment given that they told us it's in the budget. But I also agree with Legislator Donaldson. I mean, there seems to be this like tomfoolery that what is the reason for telling them, why put it all in there and then tell them they only have half and not expect them to feel nervous and insecure about that is what I'm saying. And why not, you know, how can they feel confident? So what I firmly request is that, and I'm happy to work with, Vicki and the council in any way to identify if there is some pathway forward that really allows us to assure that this funding will be truly available to these programs.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. And we have some time before the budget day to do that. I think that, you know, this issue has been thoroughly discussed here. I think that we could bring up, if there is a manner by which we can do that, we can bring that up as a new amendment on the floor on, you know, what's it, the 7th or 8th?
8th.
You know, I feel like we've beat the proverbial horse to death here on this. You know, if we all agree that this amendment is not necessary, I'd like to move on if we can.
Can I just ask, does it make sense to make a motion to postpone this just for now?
It's going to come to the floor anyway. It pass
it will
or fail.
Come to the floor. Yeah.
All these things are going to be voted on the 8th.
I think this is a placeholder till we get. Let's keep this as a placeholder till we get an opinion from Clerk Fabella and the attorneys before we do anything with this. How's that? So we'll keep it on our agenda. Should we vote on it, Clerk Fabella?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So all in favor of a budget amendment 25 in some variation once we get an opinion.
Oh, no. It's in the current form. We're not voting on some variation.
Okay. Got it. I wasn't trying to play and be, you know, do any shenanigans here. So on amendment 25, all in favor. Opposed? We have three opposed and 1, 2, 3, 4 approved. Okay, thank you.
Amendment fails.
So the amendment failed.
Yeah. Budget amendment 26, assigned council program.
Can you just repeat what the amendment count was? I mean, what the vote count was?
Four to
four. It was four to three.
Legislator Mayo. She's not here.
Oh, 4-3.
So and does, it passes.
It passes until Legislator Mayo returns.
Yeah.
Okay. Assigned Council Budget Number 26. Move.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it for discussion.
Thank you. Legislator Walter.
Yes, thank you. So just wanting to let you know that in my communications with the executive office, they said that they would support it with the idea that that the two positions stay in finance for now and the work gets done to create a department and ultimately move those positions out. From what I understand, and Bert, you can tell me if I'm wrong, they don't want it to stay in finance either, but they will support this if it stays in finance at this stage until the work is done to make a separate department. And again, I want to remind people that this is fully covered by the Office of Indigent Legal Services.
Chairman Donaldson?
You mean to tell me Bert doesn't want to run this department?
I believe not.
No, I don't think so either. Yes, I thank you for putting this in. I think it's the best way to fund this particular type of, to do this particular type of work rather than in an haphazard manner.
Legislator Bartels.
I also just want to thank Legislator Walter for putting this in. I think it's going to bring an amazing asset to the county and for no additional county funds. So I appreciate your knowledge and your work on this. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. On the amendment, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So everyone's in favor? Okay, thank you. Next we have Amendment 27, Black Creek. Move for discussion. Thank you. Second, Legislative Walter. Legislative Walter, go ahead.
I don't know, Legislator Ron. Well, I'll just say that at the end of last meeting, we were going back and forth as to whether it'd make more sense to put this in for the full $2 million or put it in for the upgrade. And Legislator Ron could correct me if I'm wrong, but when we discussed it, it sounds like the upgrade would hold this system up, keep it going for probably 6-7 years, and maybe even a little bit longer because the upgrade will put it in today's day. And so any extra parts or pieces that they need to have, they'd actually find. Like with the current system, they just can't find the parts to fix it. And while a full overhaul for $2 million might make it a 10-11 year program, especially because technology changes dramatically in a decade. And so it's a matter of 630 for 6-7 years versus $2 million for 10-11, that it made more sense to keep it at the 630.
Legislator Romp.
I agree with Legislator Walter there. And, I'm going to support putting it in the capital plan, being that, it still has to come back to us to create the capital project and bond for it. I would be more comfortable putting it in the capital plan for 2022 rather than 2021. I would really be interested to see if the maintenance costs for 2021 exceed what the bond payment would be. For the year, because you can only, I don't know if we can bond it for 6 or 7 years, because I remember hearing 4, 5, 6, there have been many iterations on how long the 600,000 would hold it off. We can't bond anything under general municipal law for anything longer than its useful life. I don't see us being able to bond this for longer than 5 years. Again, I'll support putting it in the capital plan, but I'd be much more comfortable putting it in for 2022.
Chairman Donaldson?
Yeah, I have some concerns because it we did not really break out the numbers properly to really get a hold on it. And I have a, you know, it's just something about, you know, spending money on jail ops, you know, when we are really squeezing programs that are taking care of people. So I have some concerns with that. And my concerns really is similar to what Legislator Rock was pointing out, was that it's not clear on where the savings are and where they're not, you know, and how it really gets broken out. And I really think we need to have that, a very clear breakout of where it saves money, or where, at what point it begins saving money by fixing it. And does it make sense to go to the 2 million? Is that, you know, more appropriate, but it's going to save more? I don't know, and because we haven't had those numbers really broken out in front of us.
Legislative Walter, then Ronk.
Thank you. I'm very concerned about pushing this off another year. The sheriff had asked for this 2 years ago, and then again this year, well, for the last budget, and then again for this one. And as we heard in law enforcement, public safety, this machine is really just, it's like, it's being held together and it's being piecemealed. And I think that the cost of not fixing this is the savings. What we'll see is, unfortunately, you know, if there's a crisis, and whether that crisis is leads to some deaths or injuries because the system has failed and there's a fire or something horrible that happens. And so you can't really put a dollar amount on it. You can't predict whether there will be something horrendous that happens, that, but the idea is, and the sheriff is committed to keeping people safe, not only people on the streets, but people who are in his jail, and those people deserve to be safe as much as anyone else does. And there's a real concern about their safety if this gets pushed off and then the system completely fails and there's no way he can fix it. And so I'm just really worried. I don't think he would have brought this up as such an extreme concern if he didn't have it. I can't predict the future. Maybe the system doesn't completely fail in the next 12 months, but maybe it does. And I'm just worried about what could happen. Thanks.
Legislator Ronk, then Chair Donaldson.
Thanks. I just want to point out yet again that this isn't operating funds and this isn't in the operating budget. This is in the capital plan, and we're not actually spending any money until we create the plan, sign the contracts, and, you know, and bond for the expenses. So this is just to put it in the capital plan. When it if it comes forward in 2021, I'm going to suggest that we put it off until 2022. But I support putting it in the capital plan because we need the upgrades.
Chair Donaldson, then Legislator Bartels.
Yes, I understand we need the upgrade, and I don't think it's going to be a situation if it fails at all. Al is going to let loose. There are manual backups on these types of things, and it would be more labor intensive when they're using the manual backup, but it's not going to put people at risk, but it still needs to be done. And I will agree with Legislator Ronk. I'll agree to put it into the capital plan because it has to come back to us before we actually initiate it. But when it does, they're going to have to really give us those breakdowns.
Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. I'm gonna echo what the chair just said. I'm gonna support putting it in the plan because enough concerns have been raised. The financials didn't really. It doesn't make sense to put it in the plan for financial reasons. It's more the concerns of the risks raised by Legislator Walter and the sheriff in terms of the possibility of a bigger failure. And so, if and when it does come before us, I'd like to have an analysis of actually expending the money for the full system and holding off another year and really look at all of the financials. So I can't commit to where I'm going to be when it comes before us, but I'll support putting it into the plan because enough concerns have been raised.
Legislator Haynes.
And I agree with everyone all just the same, especially Legislator Walter, you know,
for saying what a health and safety issue this could potentially be. In the next year, I'm hoping that maybe, because we still have the issue of a monopoly being on the provider of this software system. So maybe we'll come up with another vendor that we could act, the sheriff would actually be more comfortable contracting with in the meantime as well, because that was one of.
Okay. So is somebody making an amendment? Legislative Walter, do you want to make amendment to move it to 2022?
No.
Okay.
I'll make an amendment to move it to 2022.
Is there a second? Okay. Legislator Haynes, all in favor of the amendment to move it to 2022? Okay, Legislator Haynes, Legislator Ronk. All opposed? Okay. On the amendment as it stands to put in the capital plan for 2021, all in favor?
Aye.
I'll be a yes. I mean, just for a point of clarification, this is just merely putting it into the plan, which means we can
It can come before us or not next year.
Right. So, and we could actually put it off to the following year when it does come before us. So it gives us that opportunity. That's the only reason I didn't want to take it out of the plan at this point, because once we find out, if we really find out, the cost effectiveness, then it would make sense to do it that now.
Well, and I think that's probably the next step for the sheriff, is to really help understand the implications of the options here. All right, so I think we voted on that, didn't we? No, on the amendment? Okay, good, thanks. All right, 28. The chief diversity officer. Move.
I'll move or second.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Legislator Walter.
Thank you. So as I said before, originally when this was put in by Legislator Haynes and I, we did not think that the position of diversity officer was going to be filled in the county. It was filled just several days ago. So that said, we're willing to pull this for now unless there's a strong desire to push it forward. There are other revenues. This is still a very important position, but we also recognize, again, that this is a time that perhaps it's not best to be adding more positions. So, again, unless there's this overwhelming desire to keep it on, I believe we're going to pull it from the amendment.
Okay.
Next.
All righty. Next, we have Budget Amendment 29, the Public Health Director of COVID Ops.
I'll move it.
Second. Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So there's a few different concerns I have about this position. So the first one is, this is another situation where an individual was hired into a job title that was not appropriate for them. And given that salary, this was a deputy director of IS, and I was told by Mark Ryder that he did not feel like he was necessarily suited for that position. He was basically given that title, a deputy director at a deputy director salary, but then a different job. And there's been several kinds of situations like this where someone's put into a job title, but that's not the job they're doing, but they're given that salary. So that is, and then when they move to the different job, they keep that same salary. So that's one thing. The second is that salary exceeds many of our other department heads. Like, it exceeds purchasing, public works, transportation, mental health, and the warden of the jail. A third thing is, I feel like any new COVID positions not only should be temporary, but they should be covered by the CARES Act or Article 6. Right now, we have three unfilled positions that are fully covered by CARES Act or Article 6. And I think that there is a way, I know that it's a public health supervisor as well as two public health nurses. They're working on taking the two public health nurses that require bachelor's and moving it to an LPN, which would mean they would lower the salary. That would potentially allow them to increase the salary for the supervisor, who the very job description is related to contact tracing and COVID outreach. So I feel like that's what we should be focusing on for any COVID positions. I'm also really concerned that if this person is made like a communication specialist for DOH, like what does DOH need a communication specialist? Well, will they continue to use this person as a communication specialist after the pandemic? And if DOH, you know, it'd be a different thing if DOH is saying, no, we need this kind of person no matter what to continue. That's another story. But even then, at 98,000, it just seems, it just doesn't seem appropriate. So again, that's like four different reasons I have a problem with this.
Legislator Guevara.
I just want to say one more thing. I really appreciate the work that the executive's office and the county has gone through to deal with COVID. And I do feel that that's important, that we do the right thing and continue to respond correctly. So I'm not against responding appropriately to this pandemic.
Legislator Guevaras, then Bartels.
Thank you. So I've, over the past several days, sat on more webinars on pandemic response than I care to even tell you about. But the more recent focus has been on the distribution of vaccinations that are scheduled to come sometime in December. I think the justification last meeting we had was they're going to be doing a lot with that distribution. What I learned yesterday is that is not true, or cannot be true really, because New York State Health Department was the deputy commissioner for New York State, clearly stated several times in many different ways, the way the program is going to work is there's going to be 10 regional hubs throughout New York State that will receive the vaccinations. They are not allowed under federal law, they are not allowed to then redeploy those vaccines further down the line. So that means for our area, quite for example, our regional hub is Westchester Medical Center. This is why Governor Cuomo had an issue with this, I believe, because how many people are able to get to Westchester Medical Center, it limits those who are going to be able to get it. But as it stands right now for 2021, the plan is to distribute these there. But it was the discussion last time was that the majority of the work was setting up these distribution points.
Legislator Bartels, then Ronk.
Thank you. I mean, I have a question for Legislator Guevaras, but let me just first back up and agree with the concerns that Legislator Walter raised. You know, it concerns me that this person, which I didn't even know this person was in place as the deputy director of IS and hired at the salary. And one thing that I think is interesting is that we're now proposing to pay this person in the new role more than the deputy director of IS because of that weird number of days issue. So the deputy director of IS is going to be making less money if we pass this as is than the director of COVID ops. My other concern is, so one, I have a salary concern. How do we evaluate what's the right salary for this job? Two, how do we evaluate who's the right person for this job? And three, why wouldn't we contract this job so that if, like so many of the other grants that have happened, there is a no clawback, I mean, a no fill, whatever it's called, where you can't fill the positions, that we're prepared for that and we could have it covered. So I haven't yet heard the issue of having it be a contract, which could be the same person that we're talking about putting into this role. It's just we'd be hiring them in a different way. I haven't heard a final answer on that, particularly as it relates to the possibility of grant reimbursement or federal or state reimbursement. So I'm not comfortable with creating a county position and just leaving the salary at its current salary.
If I could, Bert, we brought this up at the last meeting. Do we have any new insights into that conversation?
Not in terms of the grant funding and stuff, not that I'm aware of, Lynn. I did not get any answers.
Okay. I think Legislator Ronk, and then Legislator Walter.
Yeah, I just want to make a point of clarification to Legislator Gavaris. It was never said by me or Heidi as sponsors of this that a major portion of the job responsibilities would be vaccine distribution. I believe that was mentioned in passing by the Commissioner of Finance as one of the things that they could be involved with once the COVID hotline and contact tracing and all of the other things that they're doing have died down. So it is not, it is not imagined that that's going to be a large portion of their job duties.
Legislative Walter, then Gavaris.
Yeah, so with all due respect, the executive presented this to us specifically saying it was for vaccine distribution. And even at the last meeting, I believe, Legislator Ronk, you got a message from Mark Ryder, Deputy Ryder, saying he's surprised to hear that he's not going to be doing vaccines. I'll add.
That's incorrect. Point of information, that is incorrect. What I said that Mark Ryder had texted me was he would be surprised to learn that the county has no role in vaccine distribution at any point. That is what was said.
Sure. So I'll just add to what Legislator Guevara said, because I've also been on many of these meetings. And it's important to also note that initially, the vaccine is going to be distributed to those people who are first responders in the medical field, that medical providers have already had to submit proposals to the state to get approval to be the pass-throughs. And so if the county does get involved in vaccine distribution, if at all, it will be so far down the line. I'll say in terms of the other elements that were discussed, the contact tracing, that's absolutely fully covered by the federal funding, and that's what we should be hiring these public health nurse supervisors and the two public health nurses to do. That's exactly what they should be doing. I will say, to speak to Legislator Bartel's point, this person could not be put into those contracts. You do have to be a nurse, and so this person would not be able to. From what I understand, a lot of what this position does is kind of managerial oversight, which may very well be important. However, once you hire a supervisory nurse that's fully funded by that federal funding, you wouldn't need that. So I think that a lot of that administration would be completely covered once we hired a public health nurse. The website is probably an element of what this person does and to allow people to stay up to date. But again, that's not a $98,000 a year job. And I'm still remain very concerned. I think, again, most of this will be covered when we hire that public health nurse supervisor and the two public health nurses. And it would be important to do that first and then see what remains needed, and then identify the right job at that point. But until we do those two things, I don't see why we would do this.
Point of information, it's $96,000, not $98,000.
Thank you.
Legislator Gavaris.
Yeah, just to answer what Legislator Ronk said before, I did not, if I implied that yourself or Legislator Haynes had said that, I wasn't trying to imply that. It was actually Deputy Executive Ryder who said they would be spending time on doing the pod distribution and setting those up. That was his words. So it did come from the exec's office.
Okay, any more comments on this? Okay, on the amendment, all in favor? Opposed? Okay.
Madam Chair. If I could, we're at 2 hours and 45 minutes, so we're almost 9 hours into this process.
is there any appetite to, adjourn and then, meet again? I wanted to put that out there as a thought. I know Legislator Mayo had to drop off. I've got about 15 minutes before I've got another commitment.
I have 5 minutes.
I would make a motion that we adjourn and schedule an additional meeting to finish off the amendments.
The only problem I've got is, go ahead, Legislator Bartels.
Well, I just don't know when are we going to do that?
Well, challenge.
I have a pretty tight schedule, but if there's a time we can come up with, losing two more members in the next 15 minutes is
not going to help us, right?
I mean, if we could get through a little bit more, but I'm just, again, I don't know what's everybody's availability.
So does anybody want to when do you want to pick this up?
Monday, 4 o'clock, good for anybody, or tomorrow, 4 o'clock?
Tomorrow is not going to work for me. The rest of this week is pretty much out for me.
Monday, 4 o'clock.
Monday doesn't work for me either.
Can I just ask, can we just try until you have to drop off? Because we aren't that far. There's only six more. I think a few of them will be very fast. And then we'll have a better sense of what we really need. But
I agree.
Time and just, and then maybe, we can even if it's email.
Maybe we can.
Let's see how.
I'll rescind my motion, but at 7 o'clock I have to jump off. So.
Let's see how quickly we can get the next couple of things going here and limit comment if possible.
Limiting comment may be the way to go.
Okay, so the next one is Discovery, Resolution 30.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay, any comments, questions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. CASA, Resolution 31. Moved it. Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Fire coordinator, number resolution, budget amendment 32.
I'll move it.
Second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Can I ask a question on this before I vote of legislator? I mean, it's a modest amount of money, but can you describe what this person would do that a current county employee doesn't already do or wouldn't?
Yeah,
do?
Right now there's nobody whose whole job it is to ensure that training happens properly at the County Fire Training Center. And I'm not talking about the courses being taught that's done by state fire instructors and county fire instructors. But I'm talking about not burning too hot, not causing damage, not, having people trip over each other. There's nobody that does scheduling. So, a lot of these duties might be farmed out to different people at different times. But I feel like we just built an $8 million County Fire Training Center. And it's important, for a modest amount of money like this to have somebody whose whole job is to make sure it doesn't go to shit.
Yeah, well.
That's a technical term, correct?
It is.
I agree with Legislator Rock, except for the very end comment.
It is a technical term. I think that if you visited a couple of the county fire training centers in adjacent counties, you'd find that.
But he's exactly right. So,
okay.
The modest amount of money to protect our.
Any other questions? Okay, all in favor? Opposed? So moved. Okay. Budget Amendment 33, Enterprise West. This is moving the capital plan to start in 2022 versus 2021. Move.
I'll move it for discussion.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Okay, doesn't pass. Retirement incentives, vacancies, resolution 34.
Sorry to step on you. I'll move it for discussion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, I do want to make a comment on this because I think it's important to be clear. I thought there was some good conversation last week. My intent was never to move these positions into contingency, but to ensure that backfill dollars for these were used to backfill these necessary positions and not to defund the positions. The legislature, you know, didn't have an opportunity from my perspective to discuss the retirement incentives, and I thought this would give us a good opportunity to have a better handle on the backfills. 125 positions individuals took the incentive, 85 positions are being backfilled. Now, some of them are reimbursable, and I think that's important to identify, but those were not part of this piece. So, since there is no appetite by us at legislature as appropriators, I'm sorry? No.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. And given the uncertainty, particularly on the revenue side, I'm withdrawing this amendment, but we'll be keeping an eye on the hires and the salaries that we bring these people in and for the proposed 2021 budget. And I trust that our elected officials are going to do the right thing with regard to backfilling these positions. So thank you. All right. The next one is 35, and that is the same. Evidently, they were included in the budget, and therefore I'm not going to put that amendment in and withdrawing that one. And budget amendment number 36.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions on this?
We're on the one with the insurance, right?
Correct.
Yeah, but I'd like to have a, I think they did they make the change to put that into a, back to what it was supposed to be, an accountant, correct? Okay.
Any other, Legislator Bartels?
So, you know, when the insurance department came to laws and rules to talk about the budget, the loss of the previous accountant position was something that was discussed in terms of 23 years. I think she said the person had been in the position and she had taken on a lot of the duties. She also said that before the employee retired, she trained the confidential secretary to do a lot of the inputting, but that still she had to take up a lot of the accounting work. When I was looking into it today, I realized that the position wasn't even in the insurance department. Along with our fiscal analyst, we were trying to figure out where actually the position lived, because the insurance department was basically a solo operation, along with the risk officer who was moved out of the insurance department. And it appears that that lived in personnel. Is that correct, Amber, the personnel department?
Purchasing,
my P. It lived in the purchasing department. So I don't know, not having had the time to discuss with the head of insurance, I don't know how that working arrangement functioned. And I only say that to say that there wasn't a full-time position in this office prior to this year. There wasn't a confidential secretary, but there wasn't a full-time accounting position either. So I'm just not really sure without a discussion with the department head how to proceed.
Chairman Donaldson, then Legislator Ronk.
Well, there was a position that did accounting, and that's what was requested by the county executive last year. And so we filled that position, but somehow they moved it and changed it. And my understanding is with the insurance department that they need an accountant would be the right person for that particular position. And I believe that's what they requested last year. And that's what we did, but then somehow it got changed. So I feel we need to go back to where it was. It was an accountant position, and I respect that that's what they needed. And as you pointed out, Legislator Bartels, the insurance people pointed out that they do need somebody doing that.
Legislator Ronk, then Bartels.
Thanks. One concern that I've had with this move is the change from CSEA to management confidential, which happened, you know, outside of action by the legislature, which I'm not certain is legal. I think that to reclassify a position from CSEA to non-union requires, a vote of the legislature. One of our council can confirm that, but I'm relatively certain that's the case.
Okay, so Legislator Bartels.
Well, to Legislator Ronk's point, I mean, do we have any of our council on? We don't right now. Okay. So that would be a follow-up question. And to Chair Donaldson, again, this is like the confusing part for me, because when I look at the 2020 budget, there isn't an accountant in there. There are two positions and that's it. And the second position is the risk officer, which moved to health, essentially. So I don't see where, other than knowing from our financial analysts' research today, the accountant that was doing the work for 23 years in that office lived in purchasing, not in the insurance office. So I'm a little confused, I have to admit, about the move. And while the head of the department stated to us in the laws and rules meeting in terms of the budget, her budget presentation, she talked about the loss of a 23-year employee and the accounting that she had to pick up and do. But she wasn't coming to the meeting asking for something. It was just part of her presentation. So I'd like to know an answer to Legislator Ronk's question in terms of the legal question. But we don't have our attorneys here.
So we'll have to, Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So I also, I guess, and it's less about this particular position, but I've said this several times, there's about five different positions where I feel like what I've heard is in the past year, the executive's office puts somebody in a position with a different title and then that they were not necessarily fitting into and then gave them that salary and moved them. Like the COVID example that I just talked about was one of them, and there's been several of those that are very disconcerting of the idea of taking somebody and just putting them in a job title and giving them that salary. So that said, I guess I would like to know, is this that example? What was this person? Because, you know, when I asked about the COVID one, they said, well, we've made him deputy of IS because we had to find some slot to put him in. Was this position originally like we have with the finance person in that was actually a communications person? Like, was this person given the title of accountant and that's why this is the same salary? Or was this a completely new job title that didn't exist already?
Chairman Donaldson.
As Legislator Ronk pointed out, and I was pointing out prior, was the position was requested to be an accountant by the county executive last year. We put the position in the budget as an accountant. The position then was changed, which, after talking with our attorney, Christopher Gucci, it was clear that it was not that we felt it was clear. Christopher Gucci said it was pretty clear that it was not legal to take a CSEA competitive position and turn it into a non-competitive division. Yeah, easy for you to say. Couldn't spit that up. Non-competitive position. And that was the problem. And it was this and a number of other positions that were done similar that, like Legislator Walters was pointing out. This one, the problem was that it really, instead of just changing the title, it changed the very nature of everything from a CSEA position to a non-competitive position with no legislative approval whatsoever.
So Legislative Walter, then Bartel.
Yeah, so I guess I'd like clarity because, again, was it that they added a position that we never approved or did they truly change one? And I'd also whether from the perspective of the head of insurance, would that person say, actually, I need both positions? Or was, so, you know, like I I'm not quite clear whether this was a conversion of a job title or an adding of a different one. Like just because the accountant was zeroed out doesn't mean it's not necessarily its own. So I don't know if I'm getting across. Again, it was different. Some of these other ones where they actually stuck the person and kept that title, like Deputy Director of IS, even though they weren't really doing it. This, I would love clarity as to whether they really put this person as this new title or just did they add a whole other position and just happened to remove one. Again, I'm not sure if that's clear.
Okay, Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I'm looking for that clarity too, because I see in the 2021 budget the accountant and the zero line in the insurance that the chair is talking about. But in the 2020 budget, there's no accountant there. So did this happen mid-year that an accountant line was created? When did this happen?
I think we probably, I don't know. Can you respond to that?
Tracy, are you looking at the recommended budget book? Because
no,
the adopted budget book, because this was added, the accountant position was added during the budget amendment process that the legislature voted on, amended the budget, and adopted as amended with that accountant.
I'm looking at the operating budget.
Recommended so, or adopted?
It doesn't say recommended or adopted. It says operating.
The adopted budget has the accountant position in it. The recommended budget does not.
Okay. So it happened during the budget process?
It happened last year in the amendment process because I'm looking at the adopted budget and it is an accountant and the insurance officer.
I distinctly remember when they came before us, they requested that position for insurance.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
We amended the budgets and put that in and then we adopted that budget as amended, which was that that position.
Was the accountant position ever filled?
I think it was.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. They changed the position from an
accountant
to a non-competitive.
All right. So we need to do a little bit more research on this.
I brought that up with the county executive that I told him it was totally illegal that he was doing that. Because I felt that you just can't take a competitive position in the CSEA and change it to a non-competitive position. I don't see how anybody can do that without legislative approval. And that's the whole point that I made when it was done.
Well, that was the second time it was done. It was done earlier as well, correct?
In another
that same case, issue.
Yeah, yes.
So where do we want to go with this? Do we feel we need more information before we can vote on this amendment, or?
I would say
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would love, especially because I know that if he's not already gone, I think we've lost a couple of people. There's a lot of questions. So yeah, I would.
We still have a quorum though, correct? Yeah, we still have a quorum, so
yeah,
we can
move
this.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a few things that are outstanding that we, I know I would love to understand a little bit clearer.
So should we move it though for to take it to the floor?
I guess that's, yeah.
Legislative Bartels.
Can I ask clarification on that as well? So does everything, as I recall from last year, everything goes to the floor, whether it passes or fails, correct?
Yeah.
Heidi's nodding yes. That's what I recall. I feel like it got blamed on me.
But, I think we did blame you, Tracy.
maybe it is my fault. I'm not shirking the responsibility yet, but so everything goes whether it passes or fails. I mean, the person I'd like to speak to again is the deputy insurance officer, just to really understand the request for the accountant, and maybe equally importantly, to understand the relationship, because when she spoke about the employee who had been there for 23 years, she spoke about that employee as if that employee had been in, I took it for granted that employee was in the office for 23 years. Today to find out that employee was in purchasing, but obviously had been splitting their work, but I'd like to have a better understanding of what actually that employee did that is now or may now be missing from the office.
Okay, so let's why don't we what do we want to do? Do we want to, should we vote on this to go to the floor or not? I mean, it doesn't matter. Everything's going to the floor anyway. We just have some follow-up questions that we need to get clarification on. So a vote to put it to the floor doesn't change anything, because once it gets to the floor, you'll have the opportunity to vote. Right?
Yeah, I'll move that.
Okay. Legislator Litz?
Before you vote, wouldn't you want to know whether the move that was made was legal or illegal?
Well, that's true. Yes, thank you. It's been a long day. Legislator Bartels.
If we take no action on it, can we still send it to the floor and in the meantime get the legal questions answered and potentially, whatever the format is, I'm going to be reaching out to the department head to ask the questions that I just mentioned, which I can report back if the committee chooses. But if we take no action, then to Legislator Litz's point, at least we find out if...
I'll give all the information that we need before we move forward.
If you take a look at the legality of it, it would have to be something that we would have to challenge. If they're going to stick to the idea that you can just automatically change that. And my position is you cannot automatically. I have no problem if the county executive wishes to come back before the legislature or someone for that matter to say, I want this position changed, and then this should be the position that we should have. I don't believe that they should be able to just create a position and then change the position. That basically negates our ability, to control the budget and our ability to, as policymakers, when you're going to automatically change these things without approval. I have no problem if you want to change it and you can justify that, then let's go for it. My problem lies in taking the position from a CSEA competitive position and turning it into a non-competitive position with no input from the body.
Legislator Bartels.
Yes, and I share your concern, and I think that this has been a pattern, as Legislator Walter pointed out earlier to one of my amendments that had to do with title changes, it's a pattern that exists without a doubt. We've seen it in multiple cases. But in this case, I would feel more comfortable speaking to the department head to get a sense, first of all, what had happened in the past and what's missing in the office right now before I go ahead and pass a resolution making a change to the office. That said, your concerns I agree with. And I think in terms of policy, we're going, you know, for many years, we kind of took it for granted that things were understood based on what was said in the charter, and maybe they're not understood. I mean, this has happened with the changes in salaries. This executive has set the salary ranges outside of legislative awareness, essentially. If we didn't have financial analysts that were regularly digging and investigating and providing us with information, you know, speaking about the deputy county attorney, we wouldn't have even known that that salary was changed, that that salary was hired at a higher rate than was approved by the legislature in the budget. So I think moving forward, we're going to have to think through some ways to proactively address this through policy. But for myself, I'd feel more comfortable speaking to the department head.
So let's get some more information and take no action.
Tracy, then we should empower her to call the department head.
Oh, thank you.
Legislator Walter?
So just to confirm, Tracy, I mean, and I don't know but if this is the department head or the executive's office, but what I want clarity is this an addition or an exchange? Again, just because one's in and the other's out doesn't mean it was necessarily viewed as an exchange. Two things that may happen at the same time might not be causing each other. So is this an addition that happens to couple with a subtraction, or is this truly a takeaway to put this in an exchange?
Okay.
Yeah, which I
just later, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I would need to determine that was a new position in 2020. We'd need to determine if it was filled in advance of being changed. That's the first thing. And then I think we'd also need to understand the relationship to the Department of Purchasing, and with the retirement of the 23-year long employee, if that relationship is continuing. It did not sound like that at the
budget,
but I don't know.
Legislator Cahill, and then we're going to move on to the closing out the other resolutions. Go ahead.
Thank you, and I won't be long. Thank you. I just think it's important that we recognize that, to me, this is just another way that they're working around the CSEA. This is a very, it's a high skill position, and one that people in lower levels of CSEA aspire to. And when the administration goes ahead and takes those opportunities for other employees away, then, you know, where are they going to go? Right. So especially folks who want to stay in the CSEA, and there's a vast majority of our employees are CSEA members. And it seems to me that at every turn, they're just not being represented. They're not being represented by the legislature, not being represented by the union themselves, not being represented by the administration to have a fair shake at things. I mean, I don't ever hear anybody from the union coming out and you know, demanding that, you know, they're heard. You know, it's kind of absurd to me that, you know, all of these actions take place where the CSEA and other unions are affected, and then you really don't hear from them. You know, so I'm just going to stand here now and tell you that I am going to be a voice for those folks when the time comes and we have an opportunity to speak out about things like this, where the administration is taking away a CSEA position and creating a management position, and thereby taking away a promotional path for a current CSEA employee or multiple employees. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And you'll get back to us, Legislator Bartels, once you get all the information. Legislator Haynes?
I was supposed to pick someone up at 7. If I leave, you won't have quorum anymore, right?
Yes, and we've got just to go through the last resolutions. I'm sorry. We'll do this quickly. This is easy. Okay. So a motion to I'll take a motion for resolution 4229, ratification of tax rule. Second?
Bartels.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 430, levy for unpaid sewer rents. Move?
I'll move it. Bartels.
Second? Walter. All in favor? So moved. Resolution 431, levy for unpaid water rents. Move?
I'll move it. Bartels.
Second? Walter. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 432, approving complete tax rolls and directing the execution of a delivery of warrants. Moved?
Move it.
Move.
Second, Bartels, moved by Walters. All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 433, authorizing the Commissioner of Finance to make transfers of funds and budgetary amendments. Moved?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Walter? All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Resolution 434, adopting the Ulster County budget for fiscal year commencing January 1, 2021 and making appropriations for the conduct of county government. Move.
And Amber has her hand raised.
Yes, Amber.
This one will have to be amended for the changes the committee decided on today.
Okay, so it will reflect the changes when we go for the 8th, correct? Okay.
As we're meeting, won't we be meeting on that day? Like, can we, we're meeting on the 8th. Is that the next, our next meeting?
9th.
Oh, Ways and Means has a regular meeting of the Ways and Means Committee on the 8th.
Okay, so we will have the amended version at that point.
For the budget, the special budget hearing to the body, this will be amended and the backup is attached.
Okay, so as amended,
hold on.
Go ahead.
I just want to clarify because don't we normally go through every one of these amendments on the day that we're voting on the budget?
Yes.
So what happens is the backup is prepared in advance. You change it. I change the backup after the special session, after those actions are final. But the Ways and Means votes do get presented to the body before that
point. Right. Okay.
Okay. So we're voting on it as amended?
Motion to amend?
Yes.
No, right now.
Right now. No. We're just voting. I'm confused as to 434. What are we doing? Are we voting on this?
We need to take a motion to amend it.
Okay.
For the budget amendments voted on today.
Right, and then, but we're not going to actually vote on the budget until December 8th, and then it would go to the floor.
This is the resolution to present the budget to the body.
Okay, as amended.
I'll make a motion to accept the amendments that were approved today.
Right, as amended as of this.
As amended, right. As amended of this moment. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 435.
And then to vote on the resolution's approval?
Not yet. That's
not. Oh, yeah. So approval of resolution 434 as amended?
I'll move it.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're tired.
So crazy.
It's been a long.
Moving everything.
Don't we have to do the same for 435?
Yes.
The same the thing for 435. I'll take a motion for resolution 435 as amended based on today's discussion.
No. I first move it.
Second it.
And then I'll make a motion to accept the amendments that were approved in today's meeting.
And seconded.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor of the amended?
Herb. Just joined.
I'm sorry. My brain is stopping right now.
Now we get to go.
Now we get to go. Now motion to adjourn.
Now vote on the resolution as amended.
Okay.
Motion to
resolution as amended. Pardon me? Thank you.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Listen, I know everybody wants to go, but I just want to say thank you. It has been a grueling budget cycle. I so appreciate all your time and effort. You guys have gone above and beyond. So thank you for all your hard work. And our team, our finance team, and all their hard work. So thank you.
Thank you,
everyone. Motion to adjourn.
Before you adjourn, Lynn, thank you for what you're doing. You did a great job tonight. It was a pretty tough one, but you pulled it off pretty well.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Do you guys want to know the values?
Oh, wait.
You have it. Okay.
And also, Amber, don't I have to give you votes for a bunch of things?
Yes.
Well, you have
the first seven.
The first step to unadjourn.
Yeah, it doesn't change the disposition on any of them. Okay.
No.
Okay. But the ending value in contingency is 362,926.
Mm-hmm.
Savings from the non-county contract agencies is $298,695.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Same to you. Same to you, Herb.